Hi. Hi, how is everybody? Everybody good?
It's good.
That's good. So, of course, just a rehearsal.
Test one.
Do I have something not turned on that needs to be turned on, Joe? That could possibly be.
I have a feeling this is going to happen a little bit more than usual.
Pretend it's me, right? I mean, come on. Why not? Welcome to the first show in the new studio, and we'll figure out the various technical glitches that we think we have figured out. We don't quite have them all figured out yet. And then I'm going to drag Bill Murdoch in here. Bill Murdoch is the chief engineer, and in the course of, 6 months or less? 6 months or less, they put this entire suite of offices together, built in new studios, and it was pretty amazing. So, except for the fact that that didn't work. I mean, other than that...
Yeah, but you know what? That's the great thing about a new studio is you get rid of all the frivolous. All the music, the intro,
right.
Telling what kind of whose show this is. All that stuff goes out the window. You don't need it. You just need voices.
We're going stripped down acoustic.
It's acoustic Cochrane.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
And be careful when you pull Bill in there. Don't pull his hair because enough of it has come out.
Yeah, I'll tell you, he's lucky he's alive after
exactly.
All he's done. That's Justin Coffin. Dave, say hello.
Good morning.
John DeCoste is here. John, what do you think of the new place? Well, go ahead and turn your microphone on, John.
I don't know how to do that.
I got you.
I'm scared of heights.
Yeah, he's not kidding. I've never known
this.
We're
up pretty high here, yeah.
And you're afraid of heights.
Yeah, I'm glad we're on the second floor.
Todd, the boss here. Todd, can we keep DeCoste back at the tower? Just have him sit at the Tribune Tower? Because that's first floor, and you were more comfortable there?
Oh, much better. Okay. Yeah, I was actually, that was a little high, to be honest with you. I look out that window and I get a little nervous. This is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Todd.
Congratulations
to
everybody
Todd,
who did that, because that's phenomenal.
Todd, the mad scientist who helped design this. Sandberg and Joe are in there. Pete's wandering around taking pictures. But this is the Allstate Skyline Line Studio.
Woo! Nailed it.
Woo! The Allstate Skyline Studio. I want to make sure I got it right.
I was going to say, just use that as a promo. You should just use that as a promo for the rest of time, what you just said right there. Whenever you reference the Skyline Studio.
Coming up on the program, more on the Chevy Silverado, Congressman Quigley later, Dr. Kevin Most, because it's Monday. I broke my knee. Sandberg had a trip that involved the authorities. We're not sure what happened there. An amazing woman in the 9 o'clock hour. And we got a big show announcement for those of you who haven't been paying attention.
That's right.
Coming up. But we'll jump into the top six here. Do we have music for this, or am I just starting? Just start without you? All right, here we go. The top six at six. Father's Day, the hottest since 1995. Heat wave continues today, and you remember why 1995 was significant.
Yeah.
That was the heat wave that killed hundreds. Heat index yesterday at one point was 105 degrees. 105 degrees.
Yeah, that was hot.
So.
Not where I was. I was in Wisconsin, and they got 14 inches of rain in northern Wisconsin.
And remember the lesson of the heat wave. The effects, negative effects of the heat are cumulative. So if you haven't been in air conditioning for a few days, try to find it today at a cooling center or someplace just for a couple of hours.
Is the cooling cumulative as well? In other words, can you cool in stages?
The cooling, I think, happens immediately. The heat takes a while. Takes a few days.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
We'll ask Mr. Science.
Yeah, ask Doc Most about that. Right?
We were in Lake Geneva, and it was warm, and our kids only wanted to swim in the indoor pools because it was too hot.
Too hot to be outside.
That's
fantastic. Yeah, that's weak.
I feel like I lived through the 95 heat wave right here in Chicago. I had a third floor walk-up apartment with no air conditioning, and I remember being 21 years old or whatever, being like, this is the badge of honor.
Yeah.
And yesterday when I was at the White Sox game, in 43, I was like, I lived through that. I can live through this. My son, 10 years old, was like, it's so hot.
Yeah, but not like, when he was on the video board. He was he was killing.
That's right. He was on the video board.
More on that coming up. Miles presented the first ball, the game ball, the first ball. Well, technically, yes.
That's what he said, the first ball.
Yeah, yesterday at the game. Abigail. Oh, we got a duck. Congratulations.
That is the loudest duck.
Worked. It worked. They've been working on that for 20 minutes to get that duck to work.
That's a special duck switch that they just put in. Abigail Grace was over yesterday, the world's greatest grandchild. Sorry, Mary, yours is close.
I saw mine yesterday, by the way.
She's the best. So Abigail's 2.5 now, and she calls me Pops because she knows I'm a black entertainer. And she had a shirt on that says, "My Pops is Tops."
Oh, that is the best.
Come on.
That is so cute.
I mean, that she can order a T-shirt.
I know, right?
With specific lettering is pretty impressive.
She has Amazon Prime.
Yeah, she does.
Problem. In my head, I have her going to like the T-shirt deli, one of the places, like the hipster places, where and picking the letters and waiting for the T-shirt to be done.
All of you are correct. Mayor Rahm Emanuel stopped $9.5 million in fundraising for the February 29 election cycle. He reported more than $850,000 in contributions as of late Friday. This is one of the reasons that I'm not entirely convinced our friend of the show, Bridget Gaynor, is going to jump in. Because that's a lot of money to compete.
And she would have the second most of money, but not even close.
Next, Republican lawmakers and Laura Bush, the New York Post, and a one-time advisor to Donald Trump, all have joined Democrats in condemning the administration's practice of separating children from their parents when apprehended at the border. The president stood up yesterday on Father's Day and talked about how it's the Democrats' fault. Again, this is a choice made by the Trump administration to separate parents and their children if the parents are being potentially prosecuted in any way, shape, or form.
I just wonder if that is the line for the president to talk about it's the other party's fault. He seems to have a track record to fix those things because he wants to look like he's the guy who came in, the damsel in distress, if you will, and fixes the country's problems and that the Democrats... So I don't understand in this case, if it's the Democrats' problem, fix it. Then you get a win. You get a win going into the midterms.
Well,
so fix it.
I'll tell you why. In my opinion, I believe he doesn't understand either immigration bill that's up for debate and vote this week. And he is being told what to say, and he's saying what he's saying. But he certainly understands the implications of it. He could change, as Lindsey Graham said this yesterday, he could change this with one phone call.
Right.
With one phone call, he could stand.
And be the hero. So I don't, I don't understand why he continues to...
No, you make a great point.
To talk about the other party. Fix it and then take credit for it.
Next, the Senate's voted or is going to vote today on a provision that would restore harsh penalties on the Chinese telecom company ZTE that regularly violated American sanctions. Sets up a fight between lawmakers and the White House, the Republican Congress versus the White House. Well, that should be a good time. And Brooks Koepka, as Dave said a moment ago, won the U.S. Open second time. In a row, and Dave, I don't know if you saw the post-round interview with Curtis Strange, the last guy to win two in a row. Curtis was begging to be recognized by Brooks Koepka when he said, "You've won two U.S. Opens in a row, not very many people have done that. How do you feel?" And Brooks Koepka went, "Yeah, it just hasn't even set in yet."
Yeah.
That broadcast was a little difficult to watch.
Yeah,
Fox. I don't know if Fox has it done. They called him on the 18th hole Bruce Koepka.
Yeah, well, last year he named the wrong girlfriend.
Did anybody get Bruce or Bill or whatever his name is for the for the pool?
Nobody had Koepka, no.
No.
Yeah.
See, I was going to go with Koepka.
And, of course, Phil Mickelson made a lot of news over the weekend for being a big baby and should have been DQ'd.
Did you hear what his wife said yesterday? He had a bad moment.
Yeah.
So she acknowledged what he did not acknowledge after the match on Saturday.
And his bad moment will trail him for the rest of his career. There's that video exists forever.
Yeah.
The video of him running. By the way, he ran.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think the last time Phil ran is the last time I ran. It's been a while. And then this sad story. Elizabeth Brackett, longtime Chicago Tonight reporter, has died after injuries suffered in a bizarre bike accident. I don't even think, we don't know the details of the bike accident, right? No. There were no witnesses as far as we know?
They haven't said yet, anyway.
And she succumbed to those injuries over the weekend. So our best to everyone closest to her. Justin, I know you at least knew her.
I knew her. I worked with her. Yeah, sad day. She was great to work with.
Man, nothing but vital lady at 76, still busy, and a heck of an athlete. So life's precious. Every minute matters. Top six is coming. Or top six. That's it. Right there. That.
Six.
See?
No more.
Just ended.
By American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
I think they like you, Steve.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the munders.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
It's just like roll.
Oh, fine.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Nicely done. Live from the 18th floor, where throughout the morning we'll be making technical adjustments. So thanks for your patience for that. I know we had some problems with the podcast last week as well. So for you folks who podcast regularly or stream, all these things are being tightened up. It's all part of the move.
Such a good week last week, too.
So
many
the only stuff that people
moments.
Couldn't hear were yours.
Ah.
Yeah.
So many good moments. So many podcastable, just...
Yeah, it was on. It just wasn't necessarily hearable.
Viral sensations. Mm-hmm. You missed it all.
Weekend catch up here. Sandberg, where were you?
We were at Grand Geneva. It was a combo trip. My parents are both born in May, and then there's, you know, Mother's Day and Father's Day, and then Catherine graduated eighth grade. So we.
Well, you just want to kill all the holidays at once, huh?
You do, well, because that's potential, let's see, 4-5 dinners. So we combined it to one weekend.
And where did you stay? Did you rent a house?
No, we stayed at Grand Geneva, the resort.
Okay.
And,
you ever rented a house there?
No. The thing about the renting the house is then nobody's doing your towels and things. So
sure.
And then you have like a communal kitchen and
yeah, but I think you wouldn't want people to do your towels.
Well, I like when they come in and give me fresh towels, mainly because the kids touch every towel, it's not safe. But we had three rooms. But my parents haven't been on a trip since I was 18.
What?
Yep.
Seriously?
They're not vacationers. They've like my dad's. Dad, Papa Dick, he retired to Arizona, and he would go there and stay with Papa Dick. They haven't been, they did not know how to function in a hotel or a resort.
Yeah, but you and your sister have been out of the house for 20 years.
I know. They don't
take vacations together and that type of thing?
No, but it was our first family vacation also with my parents as grandparents, and the kids were there. And it was also the first time we've taken, Catherine got to bring a friend. That was her gift. So we had a non-family member with us, another 14-year-old.
Oh,
my gosh, Cassidy. She's a doll. She had the sweetest, most calm energy. She works really well with Patrick, which is nice. You know,
she's nice to the brother.
She's very nice, yeah. And she was really nice to us. And she's fun because she actually eats food. Like, she'll order different things, and our kids are pretty. They eat butter and beef.
Butter and beef together?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I
just go to Culver. Save the time.
I actually have a gallery up. At WGNradio.com. I know.
So many shucks.
And it's on the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page. And there's a picture of Catherine holding. She asked for extra butter, and they brought her what looks like an ice cream dish full of butter. So
I got a brother-in-law who goes up in weight and down in weight dramatically. Like, he'll gain 400 pounds and he'll lose 400 pounds. All right, it might be a little high on the number, but you get the idea. Yeah. And he had a butter stick diet right around the time that Ross and Lauren were getting married, where... He had like water, and he would eat sticks of butter, like a stick of butter, twice a day.
This was gaining weight or losing weight?
That was the losing weight phase.
Okay, got it.
It seems like it would, we can ask Doc Most, but digestively, it would slide right through you.
Yeah.
Like the calories wouldn't stick.
He wasn't staying at the house, so that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had fun.
I've heard of the PAM diet, where you just spray it down your throat.
Just spray it on your tongue.
And my mom at age 63 went down all the water slides
in
the water park. Yep.
Oh, that's a fun grandma.
Yeah, we did have a lifeguard did have to dive in to save her in 3 feet of water because she got disoriented when she got shot out.
Oh, who doesn't? Let me tell you something. That 3 feet of water is killed before and it can kill again.
The kids were screaming, put your feet down, put your feet down. But she couldn't figure out where the top of the water was.
Yeah,
but besides that.
Was it a whole scene?
It was a whole
park
scene.
Had to like hit the emergency red button.
Right. Everything stops.
My sister's yelling at her. Come
save
on, Debbie,
lady.
You can do
save
it.
Save the lady.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Debbie.
I know. She's like.
All right. Dogmo's coming up. And Justin was supposed to present. The game ball yesterday at Guaranteed Rate Field, and it turns out your son Miles did it. Is that because of Miles' appearance on the show last week?
Yeah, no, it had to do with, he's a star. We went there, and I was going to do it, and then the great people at the White Sox came out, and they kind of were like, oh, are you going to do it? To Miles, and I would have looked like the biggest jerk. And like, no, it's mine.
Oh, so you would have been like the guy that got the foul ball but didn't give it to the
exactly.
kid.
I go, of course he is. Yeah, that's why he's here. Uh-huh. Like I'm a has been. I'm moving on.
Did you and your dad sulk?
No,
because your dad was there too, wasn't he?
Yes, he did. But my dad didn't get into the. They only let two people on the field, and so my dad was sulking. Not sulking about it. He just wanted to enter where we had to enter. And if you've been to Sox Park, it's not that hard to get in.
Hold on. Didn't you say? You know, I'm from WGN. We're partners in this.
That's what.
Can my dad go with us?
That's what my dad wanted me to do. And I was playing by the rules. They said plus one, that's it. And you have to play. No, they already have the things printed out for you in the scans.
Sox would have absolutely.
I'm sure they would have. He wasn't sulking about it. He was fine.
I'm going to turn you into a celebrity jerk before this thing's done.
Well, Miles nailed it. He nailed it.
Well, he was the only one introduced, though.
Yeah.
They introduced Miles Kaufman from WGN Radio. I turned around and looked at the video board, and there's Miles waving to the camera. Oh, yeah. I never heard your name, Justin.
No, they took my name off. They were like, because I kind of hinted at the idea. Beautiful. What if the both of us did it? And they're like, nope, one guy, Miles is going to do it. And the best part was they go, you run out to the mound, you put the ball down, you run back. And Miles is like, what's a mound? And I'm like, well, here he is.
There you go.
This is your guy. He's going to run out to second
base.
There you go. And he said to me, Steve, he said to me right before we did it, he goes, I'm going to do what Steve Cochran told me to do. Which I guess on Friday you were on and you said, just go crazy out there.
Yeah, like, run
the bases. Yeah, I go, you're not running the bases.
Yeah, right.
Put the ball down.
Right now you are representing me.
You're representing Dave.
You don't get it.
You should have had Mary's mother there. She was more fun than you were this weekend. 6:31. Dean Richards is here. He's going to do his entertainment reports on Channel 9 this morning from the new studios. And he'll be hanging around on the show a little more than normal, too. That's coming up on 720 WGN.
He's Northwestern Medicine GP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Steve Cochran. And let me go over here and get Dr. Kevin Most on the radio. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
We are great. We're in the brand new Allstate Skyline Studios.
That's pretty cool.
Can you tell? Can you tell from where you are?
I can't see you from here. Stick your head out the window.
Well, we have an amazing view from this studio. The studio, I think, where we'll be doing most of the shows is not quite ready yet, but that's on the lake side of the 303 East Wacker building. So we're off to a good start. We like it. Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I appreciate seeing you and Maureen and Mickey over the weekend. That was very nice of you to come on out.
Most family had a big party, and my brother Mickey, visiting from out of town, ate all the mushrooms. And your mom, who makes these apparently most family famous stuffed mushrooms, Mickey coerced your mom into making him more.
Mick did okay. I mean, I think, there were some good appetizers that day, so it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and your brother Brad and Ann, nice job of the house. So what'd you get for your birthday?
I got my great friend Larry Ryan gave me some great golf balls, as did Mickey. Larry Ryan's golf balls have the number 59 on them.
And holding.
And then on the other side it says 59.9. He told me the balls are only good for one day.
Oh, nice. Well, listen, as I told you at your party, you look fabulous for an old guy. Over the weekend, of course, someone else gave you a present. Did you open the present that I got for you and the brothers?
That you got me?
Yeah, for you and the brothers.
Yes. We're very stylish now.
What'd you get them?
I got them matching white belts to golf in.
A lot of golf going on, yeah.
Yeah. Sexy. I'm looking forward to that picture. One thing about the U.S. Open, Doc, before we get to what really matters here.
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson threw a tantrum on Saturday. Was that the heat?
No, you know, you wish you could say it was the heat. And, you know, Phil is Phil, and I've been fortunate to know him for a while. And I'm not sure. I think the nice thing was he had enough time to think of what his excuse was going to be before he talked to the media. And many people might believe his excuse. They showed the next morning where that ball would have ended up, and it would have taken him more than two shots. He thought, hey, if I hit this moving ball and go in, you know, I'm gonna be in a better position. But I think he was a little frustrated, and he's been frustrated at Shinnecock in the past with the USGA.
The problem with it is he is not your average golfer. He's a world-class player. In all the years that I've played golf, watched golf, you as well, I've never seen anyone do it, let alone Phil Mickelson.
Nope.
And it's going to stick with him.
Yeah.
It was a bad choice at a bad moment that he needed to take ownership of, and maybe he still will, but that was the downside to an entertaining U.S. Open.
Yeah, I mean, he's a role model. It's the integrity of the game. You know, there's kids watching this with their fathers on Father Day weekend, and it was unfortunate.
Yeah, and for people all over Twitter are going, what's the big deal? It's just golf. What's the big deal? He just had a bad moment. Here's the big deal. Tom Brady throws an interception. He doesn't get a do-over. LeBron James misses a free throw. He doesn't get to shoot till he makes it. You know, there are rules that matter because those are the rules, and sometimes there are unspoken rules and rules of etiquette and rules of things you just don't do.
Well, I guess my question for this is that you see this in other sports, whether it's baseball or football or even basketball.
Anthony Rizzo strikes out, refuses to leave.
But there are times when, you know, managers throw bases and there's complete tantrums on the field. And the next day you forget about it. Why does this stick with a golfer as opposed to a third baseman?
Different game, and a game where etiquette, rules, and self-governing matter. And you're expected to not only keep an eye on other players, expect to keep an eye on yourself. So
there you go.
All right, let's get on to what matters here. Cumulative heat. This is a term that Justin brought up to me, or I should say Steve Grzanich brought up to me, and need to know the effects of this before we jump into the rest of the story. Heat is cumulative. The negative effects are the same, Doc?
Well, you know, cumulative heat, when we talk about people that have heat injuries, you know, they will continue to have the possibility of more injuries as they're going on. So it's, you know, like the person who gets frostbite in the winter, we're concerned about frostbite for the next couple of weeks. You know, for cumulative heat, someone that gets that heat injury during the day or during, you know, over the weekend, they still have a propensity to have heat injuries as the weeks go on.
So you're weakened by it and you're more susceptible to problems.
Correct. Yep. So your kidneys have been stressed. You know, your skin has been stressed. Your brain has been stressed. And you don't just drink a couple of cups of water and you're back to normal. So we know once you hit that point of heat exhaustion, heat stroke, you are going to have the effects of that for more than just a few hours.
What is when it comes to heat stroke, what does it do to your body?
Well, what happens with heat stroke, and that's the worst, that is the one we're the most concerned about. The body's cooling system shuts down. And once that happens, you essentially start cooking yourself, to be honest with you. You have that internal body temperature that gets up north of 104 degrees. Your organs can't take that much heat. And you actually do damage to your brain, you do damage to your kidney, you do damage to your heart, because the body was not made to work at those temperatures.
How do you know you're in a heat crisis, you know, where you're headed in that direction?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, the heat exhaustion and, you know, the heat cramps. Those are the ones where, you know, you're getting really thirsty. You're sweating profusely. You're starting to get a little confused. Those are the ones, those are the signs, hey, I'm going down a bad direction here right now. And those are the ones where you really need to, you can treat those usually, get the person into a cool environment, get some fluids in them, and they should perk up quite a bit. People that are confused are not always drunk is probably one of the biggest things.
You should do a T-shirt that says that. John DeCosta, how to Doc.
Good morning, Doc Most.
Hi, John.
I have a question. How quickly do we absorb water when we drink it? Like if I have a cramp and in my leg or something and I drink water, how quickly does it get there?
Yeah, when you are dehydrated, you are going to take that in pretty quickly. The body is looking for that. So you're going to absorb it very fast. Now, when you have cramps, the cramps can be due to electrolyte imbalance as well as dehydration. So getting in a Gatorade might be more appropriate there, or, you know, some sports drink, because you want to get some of those electrolytes back that are going to help stop with that cramping. But the body is going to absorb it pretty quickly. That being said, when someone's having severe cramping and they're really close to heat exhaustion moving into heat stroke, those are the individuals, get them to the emergency room so that we can put an IV in them and we'll fill up their tank a lot faster than they can.
Now, you and I playing golf, you went through this. Yep. I've come close to this, I know, on multiple occasions. This is where the buddy system is crucial, right? Because you may not be aware you're in trouble.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, when it happened to me, I was with you, and actually I was caddying. I wasn't playing. And it was nice. It was nice to have someone say, hey, whoa, you are not looking too good right now. Go sit down, get in some cool air, you know, and let's get some fluids into you. Because you start to be a little bit confused, and you really aren't so sure about it. So it's often, like you said, it's that buddy system looking at somebody going, man, you are really flushed. You are really sweating. Let's take care of you now. And that is very important.
So you get past that point and you stop sweating. We'll get more into this in a second. And Doc will tell you what you need to watch for and when it's really serious. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Dean Richards will pop in here and do a little television. He's doing Channel 9 from the new studios where we're located now, 303 East Wacker. And Dean will jump on the air with us more this morning as well. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. We're talking about heat. The body's pretty good at saving us, right, and keeping us in you know, from getting into trouble.
Yeah, you know, it is, and we, you know, we talk in the winter about frostbite, and then we talk in the summer about, you know, heat indexes and things like that. And it's amazing how the body can maintain a core temperature that's in a very tight range through an extremely wide range of temperatures, you know, here in Chicago, from, you know, 20 below to, you know, heat index of 105. And yet the body can maintain its temperature pretty good because it has a decent cooling system.
The sweating that, you know, a lot of people don't prefer is the safety mechanism. That's cooling us off. This is one of the keys to letting us know we're in trouble, right? If you get to a point where you stop sweating?
Yeah, that's when you're really in trouble. And the other time you're in trouble is when you're sweating, but the sweat is not going to help cool the body. So what happens when we sweat is the evaporation and air moving over the body when it's moist dissipates heat and allows us to cool. But unfortunately here, when we have, you know, dew points over 70, you know, 74 degrees, and we have humidity that's in the 90s, you know, the cooling, the chance for cooling decreases quite a bit because that water is not going to evaporate. So we're losing the ability for it to cool as well based on the temperature plus the humidity.
The heat and the humidity. It's not the heat, it's the humidity. Explain the difference and why one's worse than the other.
Yeah, so you've heard people say that all the time. Oh, it's a dry heat and it's not as uncomfortable. And the reason is that if you've ever been to, say, Phoenix or, you know, the Southwest there, you really don't even notice that you're sweating. But you are, and the body, as soon as that moisture is coming to the skin, it is evaporating and it is cooling your body. So that's when a dry heat, the cooling system works much better than now today, days like today, when you're going to have dew points, you know, at, what, 75, 76 degrees, and you're going to have humidity at 90%. There's so much moisture in the air that the body doesn't have the ability for that moisture to go into the air. And when that happens, unfortunately, our cooling system doesn't work as well because we need that to evaporate in order for our body to cool.
Dr. Most, my question just is, when is this, and that, when does this become a concern? Obviously, we've had three 90-degree days, but tomorrow there's a break in the weather pattern. You know, when you start talking about 95 and the heat wave, you're talking about 7, 8, 9 days straight. This is something that I think Chicagoans are used to. We're not at that level where we should be concerned about a prolonged heat index or heat wave as we've had in the past.
Correct. You know, right now we're going to get very fortunate to get that rain tonight and get that cool to come through. But I assure you, in July, we're going to have a stretch here where we're going to have 5, 6, 7 days in a row. And, you know, for most people, they can often take care of that by staying in a cool environment. But we have to realize once we get it over a weekend and we're back into the weekday, think about today, just even people walking from the train in suits. But also think about your law officers who are outside all day, construction workers, people that are working outside. Those are the people that we get the most concerned about because now they're not exposed to this hot temperature for a couple hours where we might be just in transit. They're out there for 10, 12 hours, and those are the ones where we're most concerned. And again, after numerous days, the body really starts to take its toll.
And check on your old people, the old people you love in your life, your neighbors, whatever, because they are most vulnerable. Ours are, you know, tiny kids as well. Doc, Dean Richards is here. Now, Dean, you normally...
I'm actually here to check on my old people. Are you okay?
I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. I can't speak for the other people.
John, are you okay? Everybody okay? Can I get you some oatmeal or some tomato soup or anything?
Oatmeal and tomato soup don't help with heat.
Oh, I guess that's
paying attention.
I guess that's
true. Doc, Dean normally has one of his interns just wave palm fronds at him to keep him cool.
This is correct.
Is it the fans or the air conditioner? Obviously, air conditioning is most effective, but do fans work or is that just a placebo for this?
Oh, no, absolutely they do. So just the movement of air over moist skin is going to cool you. So absolutely, fanning somebody. You know, and if we all made as much money as Dean, then we would all have people that would be fanning us, you know, at this time. But really to a point where air is moving, whether it's air conditioning or just getting a fan in front of an individual, and if they get to a point where they're not cooling down quick enough, sprinkle water on them and turn the fan on them and make their own sweat so that it'll help decrease the heat.
I'm not a doctor like Kevin, but I'm just going to also offer some suggestion. When you're on the move, you got to move around. You don't even want to know where I poured a tray of ice cubes about a half an hour.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
I was also going to say, do not do what I did today and wear saran wrap and wool.
That seemed like a terrible idea.
It looks nice, though.
It does. Thank you.
In the morning, it's a great idea.
Thank you.
As the day goes down.
All right, Doc. The one thing you want people to know, the difference between a heat stroke and what?
Yeah, I mean, between heat exhaustion, which is something a lot of us are going to get, we sweat profusely, we start to cramp, we get a little confused. That's the person. Okay, let's get them in. Heat stroke, boy, the person can be agitated, and the person can have very flushed, dry skin. And again, often this, unfortunately, occurs with people who are drinking alcohol. And, you know, at parties when they're out in the sun, they lose, you know, their mind a little bit here. Those are the ones that we're most concerned. That's an emergency. That is, get some ice on their body, call 911. That's the person that, don't have them drink because they're confused and agitated. That's the person that's a life-threatening emergency.
And you still like the water Gatorade alternation situation?
I do. You know, the big thing, you know, if we talk about prevention, you know, we talk about prehydration, so drinking 12 ounces before you're going to go do something, and then every 30 minutes take another 12 ounces. And I love the alternate of water and sports drinks. So you're going to get some electrolytes, you're going to get some sugar, and that's really important because people kind of lose their sense of thirst as they get beyond just simple heat exhaustion. So you want something that at least is appealing to them from a taste point of view as well.
Last question, because just because we're in a new studio doesn't mean I'm on time. Pets and heat.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I hate to put pets and little kids in the same boat, but they are. You know, pets are going to lose pets in their cars are going to be terrible, so don't do that. Don't leave your pet in the car. But also make sure you have water for the pets. Pets don't really sweat as well. They lose a lot of their heat through their tongue. That's why they're always panting. And in little kids, we always seem to bundle up little kids. Be careful with them. They can't tell you that they're thirsty. They are going to get flushed as well. And their cooling system is not fully functional until about age 2.
Great information, Doc. We appreciate it. And we'll see if we can get John to take off at least one layer of plastic or wool.
Yes, saran wrap probably be the first one I'd get rid of.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
You got it. Talk to you soon.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. And, Dean, what do you think of the new place so far?
I think it's gorgeous. I think it's beautiful. We're live on WGN-TV. My segments are all coming from here this morning.
303 East Wacker.
303 East Wacker, so we can show our listeners our new digs now, because I don't care what you say. It's much harder to see in the window here than it was at the old place.
You've got to be super tall or have an ability to leap. That's what I'm saying.
I did it with stilts a little earlier today. When it gets windy, it's a little bit tricky.
What happens with you and stilts is none of our business. I've told you that many, many times.
I think it is.
From our brand new home,
we're about to witness the greatest miracle of the machine age.
The Allstate Skyline Studio.
Do you hear me? We got to risk a full power start.
The Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
It's pretty. I'm talking about the studio. The Allstate Skyline Studio, around the 18th floor of 303 East Wacker. We miss the Tribune Tower, but this is like your first day at school and you're excited to be back.
Tribune what?
Exactly.
Wow.
Later on, I'd like Justin, you, and John to take a stroll through the facility and give us a bit of a tour.
Okay, good.
Okay? And therefore describe what you're seeing.
Right.
Keeping in mind that it's radio.
Okay, so we'll tour radio studios.
Yes.
And let them know what the radio studios look like.
Can I go back to the Tribune Tower?
No. These radio studios. Not that one.
Okay. Whatever.
These radio studios.
Can I try it right now real quick
tour.
Before, Congressman? There's a microphone. There's a couple of there's a board.
Listen, if this is your attitude.
This is my attitude. Welcome.
We have a major radio station announcement coming up, and it may have just changed. Stand by for that. Congressman Mike Quigley joins us. Morning, Congressman. How are you?
Morning. Way to move on, I guess.
Yeah, right?
That's right.
Right. We didn't ask to leave the tower. They, you know, it's that political thing. I didn't leave the tower. The tower left me. This new facility is great. Anyway, you're speaking at the City Club today. What are you going to be talking about?
The Lumen. looming constitutional crisis, the erosion of institutions, the rule of law, and national security under the Trump administration, that should take 10 minutes with time for questions.
So the most frightening time in America in all of our lives in a very long time, and should be able to knock that out in 10.
You know, it occurs to me when we talked before, something we should mention if we talk about institutions in a democracy, our thoughts have to be with Elizabeth Brackett's family and WTTW. Now, there was a journalist, and, you know, she represents why it matters. She made people like me do my job better, much more accountability. And the reason I mention it in lieu of this, at least in part because of the discussion today, I guess, the better way to describe it. After he met with the leader of the North, one of the cruelest dictators in the world, he said that the press was the enemy of the people.
Right.
So we've got to remind ourselves the press is why this democracy still works.
And without a free and active and vigilant press, we would be in a dictatorship in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, so you walk through the hallway of the Tribune Tower, that entryway, some extraordinary quotes from history as to why that's true. So to Elizabeth and her family, our best.
Without a doubt. In regards to the looming constitutional crisis, if you live in the news cycles that we all live in and you pay too much attention, you would have a sense that the momentum has changed in favor of Trump and his minions and somehow delegitimizing the Mueller investigation to a point of it not mattering. I certainly don't believe that's true. Do you?
No, but it's a scary time. I'm not sure there's a certain percentage of Americans that have the patience for this. Let's recall that even under a Democratic Congress, from the date of the break-in of Watergate to the day Nixon left office is 28 months. We're far below that, and I assure you that this is more complicated and more difficult, particularly under a Republican Congress, than Watergate ever was. The bottom line here, though, I haven't given up on this. It's the most important work I've ever done. But what's important for us to take from what I'm going to try to say today at the City Club, what the Russians did was attack our democratic process. I think about 2 weeks ago, I came to the conclusion that the president's reaction to it was worse. We can get past what the Russians did. We can have cybersecurity. We can have education to deal with how they weaponize social media. We can rebuild our election infrastructure. We can come together. But the impact that the president is having, the potential precedents for the absolute authority over the DOJ, its lack of independence, the ability of the intelligence community to protect us, the threat of pardonings becoming a get-out-of-jail-free card, that's devastating long-term unless we do something about it.
There's the truth, and then there's what President Trump says, and the truth of the matter is the reason this is taking so long is because he has refused to cooperate. The White House has not cooperated, and he has not cooperated. That's why we're bogged down in this. Now, Peter Strzok...
And he's had allies in the House on the Republican side, honestly helping him.
Peter Strzok, the FBI agent, look, he has an affair with somebody. That's his issue. That's his problem at home. Having said that, that has now been folded into this argument. And he has volunteered to testify in front of the committee you're a part of. What do you make of that?
I think that would be great. I think it would be even better if the committee reopened the investigation as these revelations come out. Look, we also heard Roger Stone talk about, and we found out that he's had an additional meeting with Russians. A lot has happened since they unilaterally closed down the investigation. There's no way we're going to get to the truth unless we continue this. It is, I'd say, halfway home from the work we need to do.
Justin Coffin, say hi to Congressman Quigley.
Congressman Quigley, hi. Let's talk about the separations of family at the border. This is an issue, of course, that even over the weekend has become the hot-button topic politically. The president has gone on the news. He's talked at different points about this as a political issue, one that rests at the feet of the Democrats, the opposition party. What do you make of this issue, an issue that continues to get more and more attention from the American people?
Right. This was an unforced error. I mean, it was President Trump who killed the DACA program. This wouldn't be happening if he hadn't made that decision. Plus, comprehensive immigration reform, which would have resolved all of these issues, passed the Senate 4 years ago. My Republican colleagues refused to put it on the floor. All right, so we'd like to get something done. I believe there will be bills on the floor this week. Will they be good enough? I'm not sure. If there's a bipartisan will to accomplish something, we can end this. This can't be who we are as a country. The rest of the world, if you travel the world, you notice other countries' newspapers, their front pages are filled with U.S. news. When we do things like this, when we ban Muslims, when we build walls, it does not help us, right? If you want to think about isolationism and foreign policy and what it means through history, my last thought on this, what did FDR say in his last inaugural? He said, "We have learned the simple truth, as Emerson said, that the only way to have a friend is to be one. We need to be a friend of the rest of the world. It will make us a lot safer."
There's no question. Congressman Quigley, again, will speak at the City Club today. And one last point on the immigration question. Is it or is it not true, as we've said many times, the president could end this policy, his policy, today?
Sure. And he could help through the appropriation process. He could quit splitting up families. He could quit having Dreamers kicked out of the country, which is happening as we speak. And he could make sure comprehensive immigration reform passes, which would be the right thing to do. It would be good for the economy, and it would be good for our safety.
And I'd like to see Democrat leadership step up on the House and the Senate side more than they have so far as well, to make a point of the BS that's being spread, but also to make a point that this is pure politics. And there's an opportunity for the Democrats, if they chose to take it, to find a compromise quickly here, in my opinion.
I agree.
All right. Listen, have a great speech today.
Thank you. Take care.
See you later. Congressman Mike Quigley, who is a regular guest on the program. As are all of your elected representatives, from sea to shining sea. They're all welcome here. Is anybody we don't welcome? We welcome everybody. Madigan, wait, yeah. Madigan would love the new studios. Oh, that'll come to these. Yeah. Oh, wait. No, apparently he's not. No. Seventh caller now, 312-981-7200. Do it quickly, and you will win anything you want from the prize list, because the Madigan game is on. Even on day one of the new studios, he ain't showing up.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Don't let me down. The steady old Chevy has seen me happy and seen me sad. We cruise through a lot of good times. Go out the back. It'll never see a for sale sign as long as I'm around. The friends may come and friends may go, but that Chevy don't let me down.
You know you're talking about a truck. It's not friends, it's Franz.
Is it bad I caught myself humming this song this weekend?
It's a cool song.
I was like, my wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
We've got a Chevy Silverado that we can't keep because we have to give it away to you, and it is a limited edition 100th anniversary Centennial Blue. Is that because 100 years ago that color existed in other things? It's just, they're just bringing it back? It's a really unique color. It's sweet. It's cool.
I can confirm that 100 years ago.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we're going back to what, 1851?
Exactly. This is the week, by the way, you get the truck, right?
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. Do I need to get involved in this?
They said they really want to limit the people driving it. So,
do you have a record or something we're not aware of?
No, they wanted very specifics of what I want to do with the truck. I just want to take it for a spin so we can talk about how awesome.
Literally spin. You just want to spin it around as fast as possible.
Who's got limits? Chevy or GM?
Well, our marketing team said that the Chevy team has put some limits on this.
This sounds...
But you're the person that Steve has talked about over and over saying Mary's going to take the truck. If there's one person that should take the truck,
like
it's you.
Management is afraid of the carnies that are actually running the carnival rides.
Or one of our sales guys is like, you know, the truck's okay. It's just we don't know where it's at.
No, you're in the truck this week.
It's parked at TV. Maybe I can ride out with Dean. Over to TV.
Dean is here today. Yeah. Dean's running around doing live reports at Channel 9. As he does the show business, obviously. He'll be on with us in less than an hour.
That was such a truck thing to say. Maybe I'll ride out.
Ride out with him. And really, that truck would have come in handy this weekend because I was going to Lake Geneva. That's what I did. And we took two cars, and we had four people in one car, four people in the other. But all the bags and golf clubs and things like that, I could have used that Centennial Blue Silverado.
Yeah, and you need to drive it. Because it's great. I've driven it. I've been in it. And you want this truck.
I was born to drive that truck.
Yeah, you really want this truck.
And I'm not exaggerating. Pickup trucks are my favorite vehicle. So.
If I didn't have the Chevy Tahoe...
And Lightning.
Buzz.
No one and can. I have not been...
Thanks for the support.
I mean, as a kid, I lived in the pickup trucks.
Yeah.
I lived in the trucks, in the back, in the bed.
Yeah.
The bed of the truck.
In upstate New York?
Yeah, we went everywhere in pickup trucks. But if I didn't have the Chevy Tahoe, I think I'd buy a Silverado. Silverado's cool.
You guys can come ride in my Silverado, my husband's. He'll take you for a spin.
I want to do that.
Can we ride out with him?
Yeah, I can ride out.
Hey, look, I just want to let our promotions department now know that the reason...
It's the promotions team.
The promotions team.
Team is the new word.
Is that right?
Yeah, we no longer say departments.
Okay. The reason that I'm excited about you getting the truck is we're going to take Steve, Mary Vandeveld's husband, and you, and we're going to drag on the Kennedy. We're just going to have a race on the Kennedy.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, I see you go out to the forest and get a bunch of logs, like the commercial, and then you guys, like... You know, just
they drop them into the bed.
Logs.
Yeah.
I don't know, something like that.
How about we don't destroy the truck before we give it away?
Yeah, I'm not interested. I just want to do my regular life stuff, like go to yoga in the truck and have the windows down.
Can you go? Will a pickup truck operate going to yoga? I would think a pickup truck just out of
it doesn't go to yoga.
It will go to yoga, but you have to go through a bunch of mud. Yeah. To get to here. Yeah, mud and hills and a weird fiery pit.
You're painting a bad picture for this truck, though, because this truck is good for every day.
And go anywhere.
Yeah. And then, like, when you had water in your basement and you have a small couch that needs to be brought over somewhere else, I could put it in the back of my Silverado.
Okay, you're not moving any of your crap in this truck, just so we're clear.
And it's also very easy to drive. I mean, I'm not a person that likes to drive trucks like Mary, but I drive my husband's truck, and it's really easy to drive. I kind of enjoy it, actually.
Maybe Mary and I should go drive this Silverado.
What's it like with a dog in the back of it?
Oh, see? That'd be perfect.
Fits good.
I bet you that would look pretty cool, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And a bigger dog, the better.
And eventually we're going to see videos of you driving it, actually, aren't we?
Well, we would hope. They were 2 weeks ago. So,
what about cats? Some cats
cats going for
Dean,
sobs.
Have you seen the Silverado in the parking lot?
I have not, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. I actually just came in with not exactly a bulletin. I don't want to be.
I have breaking news.
I don't want to be alarmist, but we're broadcasting live on Channel 9 from here this morning.
Brand new studio,
so people can see the new digs. So far, all I've seen are people getting undressed in the buildings next to us.
There's this studio looks...
One lady is sleeping. You can look right into
her. You've been talking to the engineers, huh?
This studio looks... No, I'm telling you. This studio looks directly into three different apartment buildings.
And a bunch of luxury hotels.
The Sheraton Hotel is directly behind us.
The Hyatt. The Swiss Hotel.
You can see the Swiss Hotels next door. We will be seeing a lot of naked people.
I'm shocked at what I've seen here this morning.
People don't care.
Which part? You don't understand some of the movements?
I came in so you could explain some of the things.
I'm more into... Put the naked people... People aside, I'm more interested in the decoration of the different apartments. I'm like, that couch does not go with that chair.
Yeah, not me.
No, me either. I'm with you. By the way, did you grow up in pickup trucks like I did?
I didn't really grow up, but we would go to a cabin in Upper Michigan all the time.
The UP?
Where my buddy in the UP right outside Rapid River over by there. And my friend who had a cabin up there had a pickup truck, and we drove that. And it was a Chevy pickup truck that lasted forever.
That's the thing about that.
The best.
You can go to WGNradio.com/contests to enter to win that Centennial.
And you can be the seventh caller right now and win four tickets to the Blackhawks convention. Blackhawks and Chevy, great partners. Why not give them away right now? Caller 7 at 312-981-7200. Oh, and congratulations to Luis Martinez. Just won a Lou Malnati's gift card just a moment or two ago. Two texts coming in about this, Dean, and I think they really have captured all that is Sandberg. 847, nobody's going to want the truck after Sandberg puts a million miles on it and beats the hell out of it. And a separate texter from the 847, Mary driving together with the windows down and her hair blowing all over the place would make the truck look super hot.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Well, the hair's not going to blow all over the place if Dean and I are driving it.
I think we need to get back to the topic of people getting undressed in the building next door.
All right, well, I see that, you know, you're a reporter. I would think you'd be on this story.
I've got the TV cameras here. I just don't want to.
John DeCoss and I are on it. We'll go door to door, knocking on the door, saying,
hello.
No, as soon as somebody naked appears in the window, it's sort of like a beacon just draws your eyes right to it.
Well, can you see the
not
report?
Not all of us. Some of us like to look away when we see weird naked people in
the
windows.
Listen, Pervy Pervison's coming up with the headlines in just a second. But the truth of the matter is, you came over here just to get a look at the studios and show off our fancy new digs, and it's going to turn out to be an investigative report with black bars over people's eyes and body parts.
This is not the story I expected to find when I came here to
the new journalism. WGN. Big announcement about this show and this radio station coming up. First, headlines next on 720 WGN.
With equipment like this and the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
The 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Thank you, Anna. Yes, live from our new computerized communication consoles in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're on the 18th floor of 303 East Wacker, the new studios of 720 WGN. All right, time for a significant announcement about the show. Some of you may have noticed that Andrea Darlis hasn't been on in a couple of weeks. Well, she's in jail. No, that's not true. She went to Greece and had a lovely, I haven't actually spoken to her, Sandberg. You have. She had a lovely 2-week vacation.
She had an amazing trip, yeah.
She is back, and she's leaving us. She's leaving the show. But, as I said to Robert Feeder a couple of weeks ago, I'm excited for her, because she's going to be on the air every night with Patty Vasquez. Do we know what the name of that show is going to be yet?
Patty told me she was thinking about primetime because it's pretty late with, and then she was thinking about primetime.
Primetime with Patty and Andrea.
Who's getting top billing?
Well, I'm not sure. I think Patty probably, but you know, Andrea's on the show.
Andrea's off the
And I'm not sure that was a that could be a spitball.
Yeah.
I don't know if primetime's what they've landed on.
Maybe a contest? Name that show?
How about you guys remember the A&P? We got the A&P.
I think they're just going with their names.
Yeah.
Just Patty and Andrea?
I think it might be Patty Vasquez and Andrea Darlis.
Okay. Wow. Well, the point is, everybody makes a big deal out of the fact that when you have something like two women on the air together, well, that should be a regular occurrence. Yeah. But nobody else in town is doing it, so I think there's a great chemistry, the potential between the two of them, and I'm looking forward to hearing it. And that means Justin's out of work.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because Justin was doing a download with the legendary Pete Zimmerman from 7 to 11. And you and I got together and said, how could we make this beneficial to the both of us?
That's right.
And I said, would you be willing to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning?
It was it was the old Soviet Union, United States negotiations of the 50s.
Here's the thing, that 4 o'clock in the morning must have been the time you're going to bed.
It is a very strange thing on my body to.
So we flip the clock.
Night owl and flip the clock.
So Justin Kaufman is joining the program.
Yes, I'm excited. This is great. I love sitting here with you.
Well, you're also going to be out there. You're in here, out there.
Whatever.
Anything's
you need
possible
to do.
On a daily basis. Now, tell me about Pete. Is he trustworthy?
Pete Zimmerman is very trustworthy. He's a great producer.
Sandberg, you go back with him a long time. He looks shady.
Doll, right?
That's just his look. So shady, uncomfortable, awkwardness. But he's the best.
So. All right. So we've. So
he
we've
is.
Got
that's what he gives off. But.
We got stoic. Super Joe Romano.
Yep.
We've got
I love Super Joe.
Super Joe's fantastic.
Yes.
We got. See, he's not going anywhere.
No.
We got Super Joe. Huh? Wait a second. Is Andrea taking Super Joe as well? Hold on a second.
I don't think so.
Say what?
We got Super Joe. We've got you. We've got Pete Zimmerman, and you.
That's right.
Until you became a host, were probably the best producer in the business.
Well, thank you for that. I was a producer, executive producer at a different radio station, and I bring some of those talents here, Steve, for me to pitch you ideas for you to go. No, never. No, that's not going to work.
Well, that's not till the meeting after the show. But this is good for all of us, and we're excited for Andrea. Mixed emotions.
Andrea is very excited as well as when I talked to her yesterday.
Yeah, she's going to be on with us later
today
this morning.
Today at 9:40, yeah. And then she's going to come in the show all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think Mary and I...
She gets sleep now, too.
I know. I texted her last night on Sunday night.
Was she
is when
late?
You really appreciate not having to get up on Monday morning.
Yeah, I was texting her, and she's like, well, I know you have to go to bed now. I'm going, no.
Honestly, wouldn't all of us take that deal for a couple of days at least to go, what time do I get up? Noon?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning, though.
And even though
regularly.
we lost a female in Andrea, I feel like Justin is kind of a...
Girly?
He's a girly man. Yeah. So we kind of got a girl man.
I appreciate that. Thank you. That means a lot to me. Thank you.
So. Hopefully Miles is still listening. Yeah. Wait, you're talking about my dad.
He's a little too excited about it, too.
I've worked really hard to get to a point where I could be the girly guy.
Yes.
On a show.
You're like a Renaissance man.
Thank you.
He does have facial hair, which we desperately needed on the show after I got rid of mine.
That's right.
What is this? A goat?
It still doesn't have head hair, though.
But I can't see it because of your microphone.
You see me every day.
Yeah, I know.
Well, really, I've had a goatee for 3 years.
Yeah, I know.
The move is really about CLTV. It's essentially that we needed to gloss it up a little bit, bring in a little bit more of a yuppie style.
So you're the eye candy for CLTV?
Yeah.
Well, I hope the cameras aren't there
yet. What does that mean? Andrea wore lipstick every day.
She's beautiful.
She had a full head of hair.
She was great. I'm talking about more of the Cochran and the Ennis in the room.
So you're the youth vote?
Yeah. The Ennets and the Cochrans, you know what? They've been tested. They've been screen tested.
This punk.
What is he saying?
This punk can take his ball and get out of my studio.
Justin.
Jesse Kaufman, nice enough to get up at this hour, and we will beat him to death over the course of who knows how long.
And I'm wearing pink.
Yes, you are, because you're a girl.
It's funny you mentioned pink. There's a photo gallery on WGNRadio.com. My dad is wearing a pink shirt in there.
It's from your big Sandberg family weekend.
Yeah, we were in Lake Geneva this weekend. Okay. It's also on the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page.
Yes. And as I mentioned, I spent some time yesterday with the great Abigail Grace wearing a shirt that says, My Pops is Tops. You wouldn't understand it because I'm a grandfather now.
Right.
You wouldn't understand it because you're so young.
It's just all we're asking, Steve, is just, you know, for
what?
You
I can't hear
tighten
you.
Tighten up a little bit.
What? I can't hear you because of my age. Anyway, we're excited about these changes because I think everybody benefits, and mostly and most importantly, I would think it gives you an opportunity to make this place sound even better.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, glad you're here, man. And Pete as well. As far as Pete knows, we're kidding about him being a weasel.
Steve Cochran, will you please report to the radio booth?
It's Steve Cochran from the Allstate Skyline Studio on 720 WGN.
7:56, Steve Cochran Show continues. Well, let me grab a phone call here. I think most of the buttons work. Good morning, who's this?
Good morning, Cochran.
Oh, it's the coach.
Oh, coach.
It's the old coach. Coach, we moved.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed about the move, Cochran.
Why are you disappointed?
Because you went with him.
Good to see you're feeling good on a bright summer, sunny morning like this.
Yeah, whatever, Cochran. If I had to choose between you and chewing glass, I'd be eating a big bowl of Winda.
Justin, you don't know this, but this is the old ball coach. And Dave, we don't know. We've never really determined why he hates me.
Well, it's pretty
obvious. Why did they move you over, Cochran? You got as much brains as a foam pillow.
No, we shut down one studio. We came over to this new one.
Yeah, couldn't you just stay there?
So you think the station should have moved, but I should have stayed behind.
You should have just stayed by yourself, locked in a room.
He seems especially cranky.
Yeah, he hates you so much. Why does he follow you around?
Yeah. Why do you listen, Coach?
It's a good show.
Well, that makes sense. All right. Well, listen, we're short on time here, but I appreciate the support as always.
Hey, listen, you know, whoever told you to be yourself gave you horrible advice.
You sure that's it? You got one more?
What?
It's a great...
Evidently not.
That's just delightful. Hey, look, we're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. And this lovely woman was forced to get up against her will and come in and be nice to us. And we thank her for doing that, as Lisa Giacino joins me from her own agency before she goes and does her own work today. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Nice to see you again.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Have you noticed the mic flags, as we call them?
Yeah,
the
Allstate logo. Right? Yeah, check that out.
We got our new Allstate walls that are about to be delivered. So, it'll be just like a home game for you.
Yes, and our beautiful Chicago skyline.
Pretty great, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So the Allstate Skyline Studio is in two spots here in our new offices, here in the opposite corner of the building, and we're building that studio out. And that backdrop, we put in a lake. We put in Lake Michigan just so it would look even better.
Yeah, I took a peek over there this morning.
Not so bad, right?
Not so bad at all.
Now, where's your business?
So I have two Allstate offices, one at 16th and Halsted, 1613 South Halsted.
Right.
And the other agency is at 2521 West North Avenue, which is right off of North Avenue in Maplewood.
Where do you spend all your time?
I split between both, but the main agency is on 16th and Halsted.
How long have you been doing it?
I have been with Allstate, believe it or not. I know you're going to fall off your chair. 29 years.
What?
Hey, all
right. What, did you start when you were five?
Just about, yeah.
You fell in love with it right away?
Yeah, I did. I became an Allstate agent. I was doing an internship for a social service agency in their PR marketing department, and Allstate was always present. I want to work for a company like that, that gave back to the community.
And a great Chicago company.
Yeah.
That's the cool thing about this partnership. You know, two great Chicago, not just companies, but landmarks, WGN Radio and Allstate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting for us, too.
Yeah.
Is there something special we ought to be thinking about insurance-wise right now, late spring, beginning of summer?
Oh, of course. Well, I always tell everybody, if you don't have an umbrella policy, you need to get an umbrella policy, because now we're taking out our boats, we're taking guests out. We have our pools open.
See, Justin, you thought an umbrella policy was for when it rains.
Yeah, I was really thinking, I'm like, where is my umbrella?
explain what it is.
So an umbrella policy acts just like that. It's an umbrella that extends your liability overall from your homeowner's insurance, your auto insurance, your boat, your motorcycle, all these toys that we take out during the summertime. And people are so happy out here. Most of your underlying insurance policies, like your homeowner's policy, may cover $300,000 liability. Well, if you have somebody, a family over, and you're having a big party in your pool and someone gets hurt, that's not going to be sufficient.
No.
So it's really important to have an umbrella policy. And they start at $1 million minimum in regards to the liability payout.
Sure.
We take a look at your overall needs and assets and figure out what it is that you need. But it's something that I tell everyone you need.
Is it expensive?
No.
Give me an example. Like for $1 million, how much a month?
Like 360. No, not a month. A year.
Oh, 360 for the year?
Yeah.
Oh, it's $30 a month.
Yeah.
It's
you're already given 360 a month. You're already on it.
I know.
I just saw you reach in. You're like,
sign you
my
up
routing
right
number.
Now.
Yeah.
Get on my app.
By the way, speaking of the app, I just had it's a minor fender bender situation. But I did the whole thing on the app.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's very cool. The app's brilliant.
Yeah,
take the
I love
pictures,
the app.
Send the app to the guy that's doing the, take me through the terminology here. The picture.
Through our mobile app, you can do your claim upload, and I forgot the name of it too right now. But yeah, you just take a couple of pictures, you upload it to the app, an adjuster takes a look at it, and within a day, you would have money deposited into your account to get the process started.
It took an hour. I'm not kidding. And it's not because it was me. It took an hour because it took an hour.
Yeah.
I was amazed. An hour. You know, an hour from the time I first made the phone call to my agent that I signed onto the app to do the thing. And an hour later, I get an email said the money's been transferred to your account.
So do you use DriveWise?
Tell me.
Oh, so that's another great thing on the app. I really like it because I have a new driver, so I can see how good she's driving. But DriveWise rewards you for being a good driver. So it takes a look at if you don't hard stop, if you're not driving regularly over 80 miles per hour, and you can earn.
Really?
Yeah, and you earn money.
Well, see, I got the Safe Driver Award and award.
Yeah, you
I
get that, too.
Yeah,
that's
so
separate
I the,
from that.
Yeah, and I got the Safe Driver discount that I was able to apply to this fender bender.
And that's separate from that.
So this is called DriveWise.
It's called DriveWise. Right, check it out on the mobile
DriveWise.
App. Wise.
DriveWise.
I think it's the future of insurance. It should be every time you stop a full stop at a stop sign, you get like 5 points. You know, next time you're at the red light.
What's kind of what you're
No, it's pretty cool that you say that, because what it does is it gives you these points, right? So there's different challenges in there. So I'm always looking at it now. I'm like, how many points did I earn? Because sometimes they'll give you a bonus. If you go, 10 miles without any hard stops, you get 200 points. And then you can use those reward points to buy stuff. So it's pretty cool for my daughter, who's 16, a new driver, to be able to make, get these rewards.
Yeah. 3-point turn, 50 points, right? You got to get parallel park without bumping a bumper, 75 points.
There should be like a shot clock on parallel parking. Like how many times you go back and forth before you actually get into the spot. Drive Wise. Part of the Allstate app.
Yes, it is.
Well, it's nice to see you.
Good to see you.
Give your information on your two agencies again.
Sure. So my first agency is at 1613 South Halsted in Chicago, and the other is at 2521 West North Avenue, and I can be reached at 312-850-0775, or email me, Lisa Giacino, LISAJUS as in Sam, INO, at allstate.com.
And you got a new puppy.
I do. He's so cute.
What's his name or her name?
Dude.
Dude, that's fantastic.
Yep.
I love the fact he'd be outside yelling, dude, dude.
Oh, yesterday was an interesting one, trying to get him to use a bathroom. I was like, okay, don't say doo-doo, because then you're going to confuse the dog.
Well, good luck with that. Nice to see you again, Allstate and the Allstate Skyline Studios. We continue next from this. Dean Richards live in studio next. We'll do the news first on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. There's Dave. There's John Acosta. There's Justin. And, oh, look, there's Dean Richards. Wait, where are you, Dean? Where are you?
Hello. I think this whole technical transition has been pretty flawless.
Actually,
every single piece of equipment has worked as it should.
Remarkably less trouble than I thought with me in charge of this.
That, I got to say.
Yeah.
Considering the Steve factor here.
The fact that we're on the air is rather remarkable.
That's amazing.
It's sponsored. This is Moron Entertainment, sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. How was your weekend?
It was a lovely weekend. It was a bittersweet weekend because, it was...
Your last Sunday show?
The last shows at Tribune Tower. I didn't think I was going to be all emotional and kind of sappy about it.
I was a little sappy.
But I actually was that way. I was very moved by the number of people all morning long who are coming by and taking a picture of the studio. That says what WGN means to people.
Yeah, it's nice. It is nice. And I thought the way you guys respectfully took it out by doing funny Chicago accents was one of the nice touches.
Steve, that's a historic building over there. That's right on the lakeshore.
You know what I just heard, which I was not aware of? This building's for sale.
Really?
Yeah, we just moved into this building. It's for sale.
Really? Nice. Is that because we moved in? People are moving out?
I'm guessing we haven't helped. Yeah, probably haven't helped. But
there goes the neighborhood.
The Allstate Skyline Studio is beautiful. And this is the nicest place I've ever worked, by far. Because by the time I got back, right, I got fired in 2010.
Right.
You guys had 3 years to screw up the Tribune Tower. And by the time I got back in 2013, a lot of the stuff was broken.
Now, I'm not 100% sure where the men's room is in this vast layout that we have here, but I want to know. So when you get fired again outside of the men's room, like
totally
you did at the
inconvenient.
Other place.
Totally inconvenient.
Is it too far?
You have to go outside the actual facility to use the facilities.
Oh, that's not right.
You get locked out sometimes if the door's closed.
Yeah, I think so, too. What'd you say, John?
They're called Johnny on the Spots.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, we're actually using...
Is that right?
Yeah. We're using very stylized porta-potties on the 18th floor.
There's also a door from either hallway on either side, so, Steve, they could sneak in on you.
Yeah, sneak attack.
There's one bathroom here that I've... Three times now been in, and every time I go to get the paper towels, there's no paper towels. You sit there with the automatic thing.
That's because it's a blow dryer.
It might be.
Oh, that's the handicap bathroom. You're not supposed to use that one. I don't think there's no soap in there either. No. There's not.
What does that say? That's even worse.
So you guys want to know where the bathrooms are? I think I found them all.
All right.
Yeah. And the shower, too.
We have a shower.
I've seen that.
We have a shower, and it's a two-person shower. I still don't understand that.
I did see that.
Well, we got to save water. All right, you and Steve Dale. Time for your shower. It's 8:19.
And you have to use the hand blow dryer, too. They don't have towels or anything in there.
No, that's how you dry off. Yeah, exactly. It's angles. Dean Richards here for Channel 9 all morning, too. How's that going?
Very well. We're showing off the new studios this morning on WGN. I'd like to come back in the next half hour here. Maybe we chat a little bit.
Yeah, come in. Absolutely. I mean, you're welcome here anytime.
You've been so busy with, quote, important stuff.
I don't know why you even leave. There's a guy named Jeff Tomsic coming up, director of the movie Tag.
Oh, yeah.
Based on a true story.
The movie came out this weekend?
Number three movie of the weekend.
What was number one?
It was
Incredibles 2.
The Incredibles 2 broke the record. The biggest opening ever for an animated movie.
No, no kidding.
$180 million.
You liked it a lot.
I loved it.
Now, Dean, I saw on Twitter, and I couldn't, I didn't verify it, so I want to make that clear. It's a long movie. Like, this is not one of these 1 hour and a half movies. This is actually a
4.5 hours with an intermission.
Someone put the time on it from the thing. It was like 2:20 or something.
I don't. First of all, they're not supposed to have their cameras out, timing things like that. Piracy is a very serious.
I did go down to Roosevelt and buy the copy of this.
But you know what's funny is if people go to a movie and they go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to time this before you've even seen the movie.
It's listed most everywhere. It's easily found, but I didn't find it excessively long at all. I'd be shocked if it was 2 hours.
Yeah,
I don't think it's 2 hours, but a lot of kids' movies are significantly less, like an hour and a half or so like that. Didn't bother me one bit. I never once looked at my clock. I never felt bored in any way. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was sweet. Pixar, they are just the masters.
Yeah, they
just do the best job with animated movies.
So when Warner Brothers people, the Disney people, used to do the hand-drawn animation with teams and teams of animators, it would take from concept to the theater, it would take 7 years. 10 years.
Just for the animation process.
Yeah. Right. So how long does it take to do a movie now?
This particular movie was 14 years in the making.
From concept to getting in the theater.
Concept to getting in theaters. And a lot of it is, most of it, is computer animation. Have you ever gone to the Pixar facility in Northern California?
Nope.
You need to go there sometime. It's just north of San Francisco. It's where they physically make the movies there. It's so fascinating. I don't know if they have tours, but we've done
interviews. I would seem like it'd be the happiest place on earth to work.
It's a fantastic creative environment where they want their writers and their animators and all the people to just constantly be turning out amazing product, which is what they do there. You know what you can get? Free cereal.
Come on.
Free cereal in the morning.
You know, the perks never stop for you.
That's right.
The show business perks.
You want to know why I'm in this business? I love Fruity Pebbles.
I'm telling you. Of course you do. All right, what's coming up when we discuss more on entertainment?
Well, the super sad story in Chicago, the death of Elizabeth Brackett.
Yep.
We'll talk a little bit more about the box office numbers for this weekend. Even though I have all of this right in front of me on my... Oh, the results of the Jimmy Kimmel, Ted Cruz basketball grudge match that took place over the weekend.
Yeah, we'll give you the background on that as well for those of you who weren't aware that it was happening, that the great basketball power, Ted Cruz, took on Jimmy Kimmel.
Apparently dominated.
We'll find out. Back with all of that. All right, it's more on entertainment at 8:28, sponsored by brand new Smile Dental Implant Center.
That song sounds even brighter and more effervescent here on the 18th floor than it ever has before.
Really does. Really does. It's a very nice setup we have here. And knowing the irresponsibility of the carnies that work in show business, in 2 weeks it'll be trashed.
Yeah. Have we gotten to the first stain on the carpet yet? Coffee spilled anything yet?
No.
Well, I'll fix that in about 10 minutes.
As I said, Jeff Tomsic, director for TAG, coming up. Other than Incredibles 2, any movie news from the weekend?
Not especially big movie news. The big story this morning has to do with the death of Elizabeth Brackett, award-winning journalist, triathlete from Chicago Tonight and from Channel 11. She died from the injuries from the bicycle accident that took place last Wednesday. She was found on a bike path at 39th and Lakeshore Drive. 76 years old, fractured her vertebrae. Paramedics say that there were no signs of trauma. People have been asking, you know, what happened? Was she attacked? Anything? Apparently, what her family says, it looks like she fell from her bike, according to the damage that's on the top and the back of her helmet. That's what they have come up with.
But so just a freak accident, just a bike accident.
Just a freak accident on the bike paths. And she'd been in a coma since last Wednesday. Died last night. In her reporting career, which included WGN-TV and WLS, and, of course, WTTW, she won a Peabody, 5 Emmy Awards, many, many, many others. But very significant because she started competing in these triathlons at age 50.
Yeah.
At age 50 and won 5 age group triathlon titles as a result of that. She was... amazing, on the air, off the air.
Yeah, I mean, I met her, but I didn't know her. Like, YouTube worked with her. Justin, you worked with her, right?
Yeah, I worked at WBEZ, which is a public radio station, so
there's no work at WBEZ.
Yeah, there's no work. But she was always a well-respected professional. When I did have the chance to work with her, she was kind, and she was great to work with and very esteemed, meaning that her staff and the people around her had a lot of respect for the work that she had produced and she's currently producing. So a significant loss for Chicago.
Fierce competitor when working on a story, but also in these triathlons. But I saw her, I guess about a month ago, they give out the Silver Circle Awards, sort of like a Hall of Fame for Chicago broadcasters.
Hey, aren't you in that group?
Well, yes, I am, as a matter of fact. But they handed out this year's. And we had a very nice dinner and presentation. And then afterwards, some of us may have wound up over at the bar at the Drake Hotel across the street, including a bunch from Channel 11, a bunch from Channel 9. We're just hanging out and laughing. And Elizabeth was part of the group. And she's just nothing but hilarious and down to earth.
Well, it's a nice memory.
A wonderful soul. It really was. It really was. So our condolences to her husband, her two children, several stepchildren, 10 grandchildren. They have not announced any funeral arrangements yet.
That Silver Circle Awards thing, if you've not yet been to it, two things happen every year. Larry Wirt comes in and pretends that he doesn't come there to have people notice him. And Dean accepts awards for people that didn't show up that night.
That's right. That's how I got mine.
Yeah.
People think it was because of my career. It's not. I've just accepted for so many other people through the years that they thought we may as well give him one. Maybe he won't show up next year.
That's the only way we can control this.
Yeah.
All right. Give me another story. What else you got?
We also have Ted Cruz and Jimmy Kimmel. Going their one-on-one basketball grudge match.
I'm trying to remember how this started. Kimmel has been all over politics, and particularly the Republicans, and particularly Donald Trump. But how did he get in Ted Cruz's face?
I don't follow the feud enough to know that. I know that for the past week or so he's been calling it the Blobfish Basketball Classic. He puts a picture of a blobfish up on the screen.
I don't even know what a blobfish is.
It's a fish that looks just like Ted Cruz.
Really?
I gotta go to the internet.
Yeah, it's rather amazing. And you know, he's got political differences with them, but they put their political differences aside, went on the basketball court one-on-one, and Ted Cruz won 11-9. There was a $5,000 bet on the game, and the proceeds went to charity. So, good cause. There is video online, but I caution you, you are going to have to see Ted Cruz and Jimmy Kimmel in basketball shorts.
I like my rivalries or grudge matches in a boxing ring. I don't like this newfangled basketball. Right. Get in the boxing.
That sounds like a throwdown, Steve.
Beat the hell out of each other.
I remember when Andrea first came on the show and she beat the snot out of you.
Right, right. It's that time again. Kimmel.
Show who's boss around here, Steve.
That's right. He's here one day and he's threatening me.
That was not a threat.
Kimmel, by the way, said at one point that he would only do the basketball thing if they both wore 70 short shorts. Is that what they did?
They were uncomfortably short looking, yes.
You guys remember that? The gym?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember the $2? You got the gym outfit, and it was a T-shirt and a pair of super short 70 shorts.
Yeah. And saran wrap.
And then if you wanted, and then if you wanted a second one, like a backup, it was $500. Yeah, it was like $1 right. for the first one and $500 for the second one.
Or you had to get the loaner. Or you're in class, you had to get the loaner.
Got to be back by midnight.
Oh, God.
I have one other entertainment story, and this is breaking news apparently from the Associated Press. Michael Jackson's elephant has escaped the Florida enclosure it's been living in. Michael Jackson's elephant.
I don't remember him having an elephant. I'm not surprised that he would.
Yeah, no, he did.
I remember the chimpanzee that he had.
Now, here's how
bubbles?
You catch him. Here's,
bubbles?
Bubbles, very good.
Bubbles?
Here's how you catch him.
I'm Bubbles.
This is the only elephant in a Sergeant Pepper jacket anywhere. So that's how you know it's him. So just be advised, if you're listening in Florida this morning, Michael Jackson's elephant is running loose.
If you're driving on, I-95 there, and you see an elephant in a Sergeant Pepper jacket doing the moonwalk along the expressway.
That's all I have. How about you?
I have nothing else.
All right, we're going to talk to this director coming up about TAG. Pardon me. And then you're going to come in and interrupt the show.
I am going to. It will be live on TV, so you can see how Steve dressed up for the first day at the new digs today.
Kind of did. I really went all out. So different than any other day. That's Dean Richards, and he's on Channel 9, and we're back after this with your headlines on 720 WGN.
How well do you actually know your White Sox?
Davidson has hit 2 home runs today.
Can you tell me who's the last Sox pitcher to win 20 games?
High and deep drive to right field to the bridge.
Or who made the catch in Burley's Perfecto?
What a rocket shot that was.
What year did the Sox beat the Cubs in the World Series? Who played first base in 1946? AJ in the Crosstown. What number did Harold Baines wear? Super Joe's White Sox trivia question.
It could be a little over the top.
You did ask him for an intro, and that's
Super Joe's
direct order.
Super Joe's White Sox trivia question correctly, and you can win White Sox tickets.
It is way over the top.
It does seem subtle. Yeah, there is a certain subtlety to it. All right, Super Joe, what's the White Sox question for 4 tickets to the guaranteed rate extravaganza for the Sox and the other people? I don't have the sheet in front of me. I don't know who they're playing.
They're playing the Oakland A's.
All right, what's your question?
So the question of the day is, the Oakland A's drafted outfielder Kyler Murray with the 7th overall pick in the 2018 draft. Kyler Murray also plays another sport at Oklahoma. What sport does he play and what position does he play?
Is it synchronized swimming?
You can't give it away, dude.
All right. Okay. So.
But here was this big buildup. Who was the last Sox 20-game winner?
Yeah, there was a lot of
catch in Burley's Perfecto?
Right,
and now we're asking about the Oakland A's. I'm just saying.
Or the Oklahoma
And the Oklahoma
team.
Sooners. Yeah, Oklahoma. I mean,
you know, Super Joe, unlike those two, I don't question the brilliance of your question.
You know, I keep my mouth shut when Dave does his sports, but all of a sudden I ask this great question about Kyler Murray and I get dogged.
Right.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's our first correct caller, 312-981-7200. That's what we're looking for.
Well, the new movie Tag opened nationwide this past weekend. It's a comedy based on real-life events as a group of friends committed themselves to playing a lifelong game of tag. The film stars John Hamm, Jeremy Renner, and Hannibal Buress. The film has Chicago connections, Buress, of course, but the film was directed by Jeff Tomczyk. Tomczyk has been behind some of the great Comedy Central shows like Idiot Sitter, starring Jillian Bell, also directed Broad City episodes. This is Tomczyk's first feature film. The Chicago-born director is in studio now. Jeff, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
And congrats on the film. You know, talk about this, because this has to be an interesting film to make, because it's a comedy, but it's based on a real story.
Yeah, and there was a CBS Sunday Morning piece on these guys.
That's right, yeah.
Maybe a month ago. They seem like total goofballs. And I mean, unbelievably likable guys.
They're the most decent human beings that I've ever met, and they are total goofballs, and that's the best thing about them, is that, you know, you learn from them that maybe it's okay to just be idiots every now and then.
Yeah, and they're all in their 60s now?
They're, you know, I haven't asked them directly. I felt like it was rude to ask them what their
ages are. Well, you go find out and come back.
I think they're in their early 50s, because they're about 10 years, I think they graduated early mid-80s.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because they're established, they have lives, they have families.
Yeah,
there was a priest in there.
There's a Catholic priest. yeah, that's the thing. They're not degenerates or man children. They're all guys with pretty great jobs. There's lawyers. There's a priest. They're businessmen. One of the guys was the CMO of Nordstrom when the whole article began, and despite all, and they have families and kids, and despite all that, they still take a month off to run around all over the country and play tag. And, yeah.
And here's the thing: I was drawn to this because you have to know comedy to direct comedy. I know you did T.J. Miller's special, and surviving that apparently was a feat in and of itself. And the Jeselnik show, I know you're involved in that, so. I know you get it, and then you put a really good cast in and a good story. I haven't seen it yet, but I got nothing but high hopes for you.
Well, I'll take that. You know, any positivity, I'm happy to hear, honestly. Yeah, no, it's really fun, and it was great to work with these guys. I've known Hannibal for years and Jake for years and John Hamm for years as well. And I just met Ed and Isla and Rashida and Jeremy on this movie, and they're just a great group. It's becoming like a pretty incredible family. We have a cast group text chain that's driving me crazy. I can't get it. It's more than I hear from my parents at this point.
Now, here's the thing about John Hamm. John Hamm is too good looking to be that funny. He's a really funny guy.
It's very, very irritating.
Yeah.
Like, just be good looking. Don't have other talents.
Right, because God gives you skills, right? God gives you, you're in the line for good looking, so maybe you don't get the sense of humor.
Exactly.
But he's really funny.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's fearless. He's willing to make a total ass out of himself, which is a great asset in comedy. Yeah, I don't know what happened. I could do one thing. If I wasn't directing, I would be homeless. So,
Jeff Tomczyk's in studio as the director of the film Tag. You have an extensive resume when it comes to television. We talked about Broad City, Idiot Sitter, a lot of great shows. How do you make that transition? Was it difficult? This is your first feature film. What do you have to do as a director to move from television to film?
Yeah, and I wondered, too, were you doing stand-up? Because I feel like you must have done stand-up at some point to connect with all these stand-ups.
No, I'm way too much of a chicken to do that. I would jump out of a plane, you know, with or without a parachute before I got in front of a microphone and stood and tried to do jokes in front of people.
Sure.
So I always had, a lot of my friends didn't, I had a lot of respect for them. And I did this show for Comedy Central for years where it's all comics doing true stories, and I just find it brave that they're able to go up there and be raw and honest about their lives and not have a total panic attack, which is something I can't do. But, making the transition I had come in and wanted to do features sort of as soon as I got to LA and got an agent I had gotten attached to a couple movies and they sort of went nowhere. We just kept developing. We got in this quote unquote development hell. And then the great thing about television is that people act quickly. You know whether you're going to actually be working or not.
Yeah, because they have to make a decision on whether or not they're going to invest.
There's like a very set time slot, so you just work and work and work. And it's nice to have a job, so I just kept doing that. And then getting into this, it's hard to find a comedy out there that seems to have a real purpose and a real heart to it.
But I've been in these meetings. I had development deals with everybody in the 90s, and I've been in these meetings.
Yep.
And the meetings take place this way. First off, they love you. Mm-hmm. They're so excited about it. They're really excited about it. We're thinking about this. We're thinking about that. This is going to be great. You walk out pumped. You go out to your cab before your Uber situation. You ride back. Mom, it's great. They're going to make it.
Yeah.
And then you see the end of the player where there's a warehouse with scripts stacked a mile high.
It's totally
the
true.
The fact that you got this thing made is fantastic to me because even with your track record, nothing's automatic.
No, it's actually been a real eye opener to see how hard it is to just get a movie across the finish line. And because you need the script to work, you need so many people within the studio to love it, you need it to make some financial sense for them, you need to have the cast that gets them excited. And getting all those pieces together, when a studio like Warner Brothers only has so many slots and so many movies they're gonna make. So, I'm trying to make a tiny comedy about guys playing tag. and Justice League, you know, right, whatever, wants to go at the same time, it's difficult to get over that hump with something sort of strange and
original. I thought the fact that you folded Iron Man into it was brilliant. I thought that was super solid.
We had to get one Avenger into it just to make it work.
Stand by. More in a second. The movie's Tag and on demand anytime soon.
Well, I hope so. It's on demand in the theaters right now.
Go to the theaters. We want you to go to the theaters, but everybody wants to sit on their duff and watch it at home, too. So yeah,
it's inevitable.
I'll make money for you any way we can.
I appreciate that.
All right, we have a winner. Super Joe, turn your microphone on and tell me who our winner is.
We have a winner, Michael from the Northwest Side.
And the question was?
The question was, what other position did Kyler Murray, who was drafted by the Oakland A's in the draft, what position and what sport does he also play in Oklahoma?
And again, the answer is?
Football and quarterback, starting quarterback for the Boomer Sooners.
Right, right. Oh, Dave, don't act like you knew it after you heckled Joe.
No, I knew that wasn't the point. He had the big... look, if you don't have the big produced open with... all the build up
again. I thought it was sort of under played, to be honest with you. Four tickets, Sox and the A's Saturday, 1:10 p.m. Super Joe's Monday questions available soon in the Super Joe Greatest Hits package.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Now, and Jeff Tomczyk's here, director of Tag. It's a bunch of grown-up men running around like goofballs and playing tag, actual playing tag.
Can I also just add, I loved when he was quarterback of the Chicago Bears years ago.
He was
back
good
in the day.
Yeah.
I've got deep roots.
That's how everybody knows how to pronounce your name.
It's
Tom Zick, though, right?
Tom Zick.
It's a different part of Poland. To your right is John DeCoste. John, a legendary Chicago stand-up comedian. And, you know, once you get a movie made, all your friends want to pitch you with ideas. John's got an idea for a movie called Not It. It involves cooties and other things. So
what is ghoul?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
It's ghoul.
Jeff, you had a tremendous cast. I mean, this cast is, we mentioned a couple of the people that are in it, but I mean, you're talking an ensemble cast that obviously is very tight. What kind of set do you run to be able to be your first film and have all of these actors that have so much experience from being an Avenger to being John Hamm, whatever it might be? How's your set? What's your set like when you have all of these people and their expectations?
Well, mainly I just like to keep it very hot, at a cool 110 degrees, just to keep everyone on their toes a little bit and then maintain control. We were in Atlanta, actually, and most of the stuff we were shooting, it was so incredibly steamy. I can remember about that.
But here's the thing. You got professionals who want to do the job, but these are mostly comedians.
Yep.
They're 9-year-olds. So you're trying to get work done. They're trying to make each other laugh.
That's true. I mean, and Jeremy Renner, who, you know, is known for being this sort of brooding, dramatic actor, is the most mischievous guy among the cast. So he was constantly driving everyone crazy and having a lot of fun. He would just whip, and then I would just call action, and he would go ice cold immediately. But then as soon as cut happened, he'd be running around chasing the other guys around.
I don't know if you guys talked about this before I walked in the room, but how did you, as the director of the movie, feel when one of your actors breaks both of his arms, Jeremy Renner, with all of, I assume, all the physical comedy that was going on?
I was very disappointed in him.
For not
taking that beating a little easier.
Exactly. How selfish. How selfish of him.
I thought you were a superhero. I thought this bat was going to have no effect on your arms.
It'd be a little bit of a terrifying day to you and some of the accountants on this movie, I would think.
Yes. The accountants, I think, were losing their minds. No, it was day 3 of the shoot.
Oh, great.
So it was already a year's worth of challenges that had pushed me to near heart attack level, and then we start shooting. I take a sigh of relief, and an Avenger breaks his left wrist and his right elbow.
So did you rewrite?
No, we just put a lot of jackets into the movie.
So
shot around.
We wrote in sleeves.
Just real quickly here, again, it's Tag. Just quickly, and John and Justin, jump in on this if you want. Ed Helms, we hear he's a shoplifter. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Okay.
He's a kleptomaniac.
Will you see him again? Because he owes me money.
Well, I'm sure he does in most department stores.
Isla Fisher, how often did she ask about me?
Almost every day.
Figured as much. Nora Dunn, in a way, Chicago's own. She spends a lot of the day. Am I right about that? Yeah. Nora live here
all
part-time?
The time. Yeah.
Was she from here originally? I don't know.
Yeah, part, she was part of the Second City.
Yeah, yeah.
And is in the movie sparingly, but every time you see her, you laugh out loud.
My sister and I used to do impressions of her impressions from SNL as kids. You know, she used to do this fake show called Attitudes. And whenever my mother was talking to me, her character would just lean in and say, in the most annoying way. Near insanity.
Overly intensive. Yeah.
Rashida Jones, also one of the funniest people, especially when she's trying to get her dad, Quincy, not to talk to the press anymore. And Leslie Bibb. Leslie Bibb is married to Sam Rockwell, right? Or partners?
They're not married, but they've been together for, 10, 12 years.
Sam Rockwell hanging around the set at all? Because if I'm you, I go, there's an Academy Award winner. I'm going to attach it to whatever the hell I'm doing.
He was shooting a movie. It was funny. They were living together in an apartment in Atlanta, and he was shooting a very serious drama about the KKK at night while we were shooting a movie about TAG during the day. So our evening conversations were pretty dynamic. He came to the premiere. He's a great guy. He was a huge supporter of the whole thing. Wonderful to have him around.
Also in this movie, Steve, is Lil Rel Howery, who, if you don't know his name, he was in the movie Get Out. He was the security guard buddy in the movie Get Out.
And you should know his name.
Chicago guy.
He's
also from Chicago. Also a Chicago guy, but he is also great in this movie as well.
Yeah, he's so good. I mean, we're old friends as well. So Thomas Middleditch, Will Rell, Carrie Brownstein.
What a cast.
Did he just call you?
I'm sorry. Yeah, apparently he thinks this is cable.
He called you a middle ditch?
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of great Chicago talent.
Yeah, a lot of Chicago guys that came up together here, and we met over the years, and I just dragged them into TAG over text message mostly. And, please come.
Yeah, please, because Jeff would like to be able to do other movies and not take my call about them. So TAG. Go see it. It's good for you. You get a laugh. You don't have to worry about a guy flying in to save the world.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of adult goofballs that you've seen and love and so many different things playing tag.
Yeah, just a reminder, be silly and stay connected to your friends because they may help you be happy with your life. or they may just chase after you.
One of the things that I took out of this movie, though, is while I was watching this, I'm thinking of my group of buddies that I've known since third or fourth grade. And, you know, I know I still hang out with many of them, and they're still the same goofballs that we all were when we were that age. And you will go, when you're looking at your guys in the movie, you're going to go, that's so-and-so, that's so, you're going to, you know, be able to tag your friends because each personality is there.
Yeah, I mean, that's my hope. You walk out of this movie and, you know, maybe call that guy or friend from childhood that you haven't talked to in a couple of years.
Original title of this movie was Stop Touching Me or I'll Kill You. Did you guys know that?
I didn't know that.
Story. I don't make stuff up.
That was a working title? That's good.
That's why Steve is the James Lipton of Chicago right now.
That's exactly right. The most important movie ever made, I think we can agree on that, it's TAG.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Good to see you, man. Nice. You're welcome here anytime.
Thanks so much.
Hope you come back. Thanks for being here on day one. CLTV joined us. We have no idea where the cameras are. Just wave in general to everything. And hi to everybody on CLTV as we continue from 303 East Wacker. Dean's agreed to stay till 7 o'clock tonight through all the shows.
Having a little separation anxiety from the other place right now.
More coming up. News next.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Hold up. It's just like wrong.
Fine. Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I've been walking around the studio like George Jefferson all morning. And then just a couple seconds ago, I had Mr. Bentley come over. And he asked me to walk on his back. I never saw it coming. It's 9:17 back in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Show number one from this facility, show number 1,169 overall. And though we miss the Tribune Tower, and always will, this place is sweet. Very right, nice. Or am I right?
I'd say we abandon the counting of the other shows now.
You think?
Let's just go with one.
Was one? Show one? Over?
I will say what I love about the architecture of where we're at. We're up on the 18th floor on the river, is that throughout the morning, it's the first time to observe this, the water will reflect on the building. So you can actually see the Chicago River's water, and it changes with the sunlight.
I thought that apartment had a pool.
But it's a tremendous look. It's something that you don't see as a Chicagoan. You just don't get, you're not privy to see that if you're not up in these buildings all the time. So it's really cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and this is just part of the view, because we're going to move down the hall to another studio in a matter of a couple of weeks, probably. And that's got that lake behind us is not a bad way to start your day.
Could we just do an hour here and then go over there for an hour and come back here for an hour?
Yeah, it's like a wardrobe change.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're lucky. Sandberg, you know this. We're lucky on this show that we get to meet some pretty amazing people. Based on what I know about Jen Stevens, our next guest, I don't know that we'll ever meet anybody more amazing.
No, we won't.
And what's the connection to the show here?
Jen is a friend of my sister's.
But your sister, by the way, who just gave me a full knee exam, and she didn't even ask my Blue Cross Blue Shield card.
Yeah, my sister's a physical therapist. That's why she was touching Steve's knee.
And, professionally.
Jen is also knows our own Mark Carmen.
If you know Carmen, you're okay by us as well. And Jen, I know you said you were a little nervous. Don't be. We're just hanging out, just friends here. So how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
It's nice to see you. The reason I say you're an inspiration is because you are. You've been dealing with cancer for how long?
Over 4 years.
And the initial diagnosis came when? And I don't mean like month and day, but what, did you have symptoms or what was going on?
Oh, I'd had a cough for a few years, actually, and we treated it for a lot of other things before taking a x-ray of the lung, and then they found it.
So is it lung cancer?
Mm-hmm.
Stage?
It was stage 4 when I was diagnosed.
You look unbelievable.
Thank you.
I mean, stage 4 lung cancer is supposed to be, thanks, check please, it's over, and you look absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
So, spirituality, great science, a little bit of both. What do you attribute it to?
I'd say both, yes, definitely.
And you've put together something the rest of us can read. That's not just your story. It's a story of how to live. It's a decision to live, a resource guide on how to deal with it, right?
Yep.
What's in there?
A lot of links, and I thought of it like advice to a friend, because once I was having good results, we got a lot of calls from people who were getting diagnoses, and I would get really sad and upset talking to other people going through the same thing. So my husband said, write something that I can share with people.
Therapy?
And
by writing it a little bit?
Yes, it was. It's also remembering things that happened in the beginning. I think the beginning's really shocking. And I've gotten more acclimated to living with something chronic like this now.
What do you say to people who maybe recently got a diagnosis need a little advice and inspiration right now?
Well, the first thing is that there's so much hope. There's treatments that are being released all the time, and there's tons of hope.
Including things that weren't around 4 years ago when you first got the news.
Yes, right. I've been lucky enough to catch things that were just getting introduced that were right for me. So that, and the other thing is about fear is a big part of a cancer diagnosis. I was so terrified at first, and I do many, many things all day long, from prayer to meditation to walking, and you saw me knitting earlier, things that are calming, and because I think it's a bad decision to be living out of fear and terror, it's really important to counteract that so that you can make decisions out of more principled, higher principles.
And not just your emotional health. I think we know this, right? That medically we know that creating that sort of inner stress is physically debilitating as well.
Yes, yes. And especially it's bad for cancer to be under stress. Sure. So as calm as you can keep yourself, that's good.
At what point did you realize that you would have to not only deal with the physical deals with having a diagnosis of lung cancer, but also the emotional? Like, at what point did you recognize that you needed to find complementary ways to keep healthy?
That was my plan from the beginning. I've always been pretty holistic, and I took about 28 days before I started the recommended Western treatment, and just prayed every day for discernment. I didn't want to just jump into something out of scarcity. And so I I used a lot of, you know, just thoughtfulness. And I knew that I didn't want to just go straight down the doctor-recommended path without doing my own research and knowing if it was right for me.
Were you that type of person before this?
Yes.
So that, in fact, helped. That was an easy fit for you.
Yes, I was a researcher in marketing, so I know how to do research.
Sandberg?
Yeah.
Well, and your husband and your kids have been along for this. I forget how old they are now, 16 and 12?
I have a almost 20-year-old and a 12-year-old.
Okay, so they were... I know when my sister and I, when my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, we were very much aggressive and cut it out, get it off of her. We were, I don't know that we were looking, thinking, pull back and think like.
You weren't thinking about the thoughtfulness.
No, part, and right? She was scared and we wanted it off of her body, you know, so we were angry. And so I guess, did you have any anger? Because you weren't a smoker.
No.
And so, yeah. Like, why me? Where, you know, like, why is this happening to
me? The natural human moments.
I'm right. In the middle of life with these kids and my husband, yeah. And I can't remember switching from anger. We went from anger to fear, and then she was, you know, had surgery, and then I don't, we never
and it's different
sat back
how you process
thought, how do we enjoy
it,
this?
It's different how the people that love you process it versus the way you process it as you go through it, I would think.
Yes, I think it's harder for them. I do.
So, yeah. So is there, you know, we talk about the five stages of grief. Do you have to grieve a healthy life?
Yeah, I have been, I think, through a really similar process. And I was angry. I wasn't angry every day, and I wasn't scared every day. And I've done a lot of emotional social intelligence training, and so I've learned to identify and express my emotions, and it helped to just ride the waves. Like sometimes I would be really angry, I'd punch my pillows, sometimes I would be crying, but usually I'd try and reach out for comfort. And sometimes, I mean, we had a lot of really dark humor too. We used to watch these sick movies or make cancer jokes.
I think,
and
that's great.
We've you know, my family will go, oh, here it comes. She's going to pull the cancer card. You know, when I don't want to do something or something. So,
and you go, yeah, I get
yeah,
to.
I get to pull the cancer
yes,
card.
I get
yes.
to. Yeah, that's exactly right. Your family, of course, spends a lot of time worrying about you. Are they part of the medical program and the holistic program that you talk about in this piece that you've written, A Decision to Live?
Well, they eat what I eat, which is all organic. They have to go along for the ride on that one.
Did you change that once you were diagnosed? Did you eat differently prior?
I was pretty pretty healthy and toxin-free before I got this diagnosis.
Well, let me jump backwards for a second.
Yeah.
There's people listening now who love somebody with cancer. What is a cancer patient who's in a tough spot, tough diagnosis, what do you want to hear and what do you not want to hear from the people closest to you? You know, they mean well and they want to help, but they say something that really makes things not so much better. Nothing jumps to mind.
Well, it's...
'Cause I'm
sure. I think people feel awkward and they don't want to bring up a painful topic, and walking on eggshells, feeling that people are walking on eggshells is the most uncomfortable thing for me. I'd rather have people be transparent and say, I'm worried or I don't know what to say.
Right.
And to have the conversation rather than be goofy or, you know, not mention it.
And how many times a day do you have people that love you or mean well or just come across you and find out what you've been dealing with and go, I know someone who had cancer,
yes.
And they want to tell you that story.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's really common now.
I'm thinking it's not helpful. Is it not helpful, or is it just part of your day?
It's part of my day.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're a very nice person.
Thank you.
You could be a complete pain considering what you're dealing with. You seem like a very nice person to me.
Well, the decision to live was an outlook. I think, you know, we can't affect our circumstances, but we can affect how we respond to them. And I think that is our freedom of choice. And the decision to live
great,
fully and enjoy the moments and really, you know, treasure every human experience has been a really important part of my journey, not just to try and quote, I'm doing air quotes, stay positive, but if I'm having a sad day to really, you know, sadness is also a really poignant human experience, and I don't want to narrow the range of my human experiences.
And you make a good point. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow.
We right.
don't have to have a diagnosis of stage four or anything.
Exactly. There's really no difference between you and me except that I know.
Well, you look much better in that outfit than I would.
Yeah.
Sandberg, would you want to?
I just, Jen's story and what she has to say about outlook of life is not just for people that are ill or know people that are
right.
ill. It's all how you react to everything. And that's good to remind yourself
every day.
That's a
great
day.
Thing to remind. Justin, yeah. John, last words?
The Decision to Live, a resource guide to complementary and holistic cancer choices.
I'm going to post that on WGN. On our website, so
okay.
you'll be able to get that
so
on the Cochran Show.
You can download it for nothing?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get Jen some cash here. How do I do that?
I know. Well, we can figure that out later.
Yeah.
But
Really, you're an amazing woman.
Thank you.
And quite an inspiration.
Thanks.
And I'm sure your family's pretty special as well.
They have been invaluable in their support. Amazing support. I couldn't have done it without them.
Well, keep coming in, right? Keep coming in. Be a cheerleader as you go through this, as you continue to win this fight, and because people need to hear from you.
Thank you.
Nice to see you again.
Great to be here. Thank you.
A Decision to Live. The link will be posted how fast? How soon? When?
25 minutes.
All right. By the end of the show at 10 o'clock at 720 WGN and the Steve Cochran part of the WGNradio.com webpage. We'll come back. More to do. And Justin and John are going to wander around the new building here and give us a tour.
And Andrea is going to be on.
And Andrea's coming up here in a few minutes. Yeah. So we'll talk about that as well on 720 WGN.
Whenever I leave my news update, I go to Andrea. She's Andrea Dollar, baby. She has a nose for news. She can tell us the inside out and what it's really about. She's Andrea Dollar, baby. If it's news, you lose.
Just back from 2 weeks on the other side of the planet. Andrea Darlis joins us now, and we have some stuff to talk about. Good morning.
Oh, my one day to sleep in. My God. I'm trying to get used to this. I didn't have to set an alarm. I had coffee in a mug.
Yeah, well, we explained this earlier, but we need to re-explain this.
Okay.
And I'll give people a little bit of background here. You and I, for years... even when I wasn't here, we're talking about, you know, you'd like to have a show with your name on it at some point. And I think you've been more than patient enough. So starting, officially, I guess Wednesday, you and Patty will be on at what time?
Patty and I will be on from 7 p.m. until 11, and we are going to have a show later on this evening, kind of the inaugural show
right.
of us together at 10 o'clock after the White Sox game.
I'm excited about it. I think you guys are going to sound great together. I'm going to miss you here, but I think you're going to sound great together.
Yeah, I'm going to miss you guys, too. I really am.
All of us or just me?
All of you. All of you collectively. So now I'm going to tell a little bit of personal information about each and every one of you. First of all, we'll start with Enid.
Okay. No. Of course
this is going to get up.
No, you know, let me give you tip number one, host. Save it for your own show.
right. No kidding. Save it.
So here's the deal. You guys go on at 7 most nights. If there's a White Sox game, you'll be on at 11. But Chicago finally has, and I was talking about this earlier, Andre. I know you weren't up because you were sleeping off your trip. But people go, wow, a show with two women on it. Isn't that unique? Well, it is unique because nobody's done it, but it doesn't mean it shouldn't be done all the time. But I think you and Patty have a pretty cool opportunity here.
Absolutely, yeah. And I've known Patty forever. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. She'll bring, obviously, the comedic side to it. I'll bring the very serious side to it because I'm so serious most of the time. but no, I think we're going to have great dialogues. We have great guests lined up. You might want to not listen to this part, but we have J.B. Pritzker coming on later in the week.
Seriously?
So we got a lot of great guests coming up this week, and Gary McCarthy. Hopefully we're going to have Ron one night. So, it'll be nice. I promise you. Look, I'm getting nervous now. I will try to get him on your show.
No, not necessary.
By the end of summer, Steve. By the end of summer.
I'm just glad he's on this radio station talking to you guys. And that's the other thing that's cool, too. With Andre on at night, this is a big city. A lot happens. And Justin, you know this. News breaks at night. One of the best is sitting in the chair to
cover. Absolutely. And it does break
a lot. So that's a big deal.
There have been many a times I wish I had the services of Andre Darlis at nighttime when big news was breaking and we were all by ourselves on an island out there. But, of course, and Andre's been on the download with me a couple times, yeah. And I love doing radio. And the format of working in your own show, it's going to be great. So I'm excited for it.
Going to be nothing but fun. All right, give us a brief travel log from Greece. Now, you've been to Greece many times. This is what, 3, 4, 5 times for you?
This is my third time. This was the best trip I have ever been on. It was wonderful. We went to Santorini and Mykonos and hiked all around Santorini. We took what was supposed to be a 2-hour hike. Actually, according to Google, it was a 2-hour hike. It turned into a 4-hour hike, 4.5 hours almost, from one portion of Santorini to the end of the island. And it was just wonderful and beautiful and nice to enjoy the weather. And I heard it was raining a lot here when I was gone, too.
Yeah, we had Noah building an ark. So
yeah, no kidding. And you know, Steve, I have to say, it's been such a pleasure, you know, our journey together, me and you and Enid, Mary and Mary Sandberg and Joe now and Justin too. I've had so much fun working with you guys over the years too. And I'm really going to miss seeing you as well and telling you my travel adventures and whatnot, but we'll tell it to a whole new audience. And our listeners are awesome because, and you know how it is too, Steve, in this business. You take a week off and people think that something happened to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you should have seen the emails, Andrea. Where is she? Yeah. Where is she?
She was taken hostage by Greek tour guides.
right. I went to the homeland, and I had to stop myself because normally I'll pick up cheap little crappy souvenirs for you guys in the airport.
Yeah, what about our gifts?
I know I didn't do that this time.
We're not going to get gifts anymore, Steve.
No, but you got something super nice for Patty.
Oh,
Right.
Now, Justin,
nuts from the airplane.
Justin drew the short straw here. You're going to be getting up and doing this show every morning.
Yeah, and I reached out to Andrea to tell me how to, we talked about this before, navigate the morning ritual without waking up the whole house. That's one. Because there have been now 3 times I've done this. I walked out without my keys once without my wallet, wrong socks, wrong shoes. All the way down the line, I've not adjusted well to getting out of the house in the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah, so now Andrea will be able to golf during the day. She'll be doing more TV during the day.
Here's my advice for the nighttime shift.
True.
If you're starting at 7 o'clock, I always eat right at 6:45. Like, that's my thing. I always shove my face right at 6:45 and then go in so you can last the 4 hours through.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's the biggest adjustment, too. It's still kind of getting over this jet lag. When to eat, when to sleep, when to shower. Yeah, that's going to be the hardest.
Well, Justin doesn't shower.
All of it. No, you could just
Justin
shower.
I know. No, I'm sorry about that, Steve. Yeah. I know he's sitting in that chair that I wasn't in. So I'm sorry about that.
All right, now you're going to love this studio. I know you guys are on 11 o'clock tonight, but you're going to love this studio. So what's the name of the show? Do we know yet?
Patty Vasquez and Andre Darlis.
All right, there you go. I don't know how you guys came up with that.
You know, it's original. It's a good thing we both filled the slots, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Be odd if the casting went another way. Patty Vasquez, Andre Darlis, tonight at 11.
At 10.
Tonight at 10?
Yeah, it's after the White Sox game.
Okay.
Which Andre, I'll tell you, it's going to be like a 10:15. That's what they usually will roll like.
Okay.
About a 10:15. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Farmer gets going in the post game, starts telling stories
about
pitching middle relief for the Phillies, and your time gets further and further back.
Yeah, you know.
I'll spend some time decorating. Apparently, for the first time in 20 years at WGN, I have an office.
So yeah, by the way, you're going to like your office, too. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to
glassed
see it.
In. Anyway, love you. Talk to you later. Not a goodbye, just a goodbye for now.
You got it, guys. Love you all. See you soon.
All right, there
Bye.
You go.
Bye, Andrea.
It's Andrea
Talk to you later.
Dean Richards still wandering around. Wave to Dean. Wave. Hi, everybody. Hey, everybody. We're Subtle, and we're also on CLTV. All right, now you and John DeCoste are going to go give us a tour of the entire new office suite.
That's right. We're going to do it in the remaining time of the show, which is 2 or 3 minutes. We're going to hit rapid fire. We're gonna nail it.
We're gonna split it up. That's why I got two of you doing a tour.
All right, I'm on my way.
I got it. I'm patched in.
All right, let me hear it.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
We're locked. Systems check out. Signal across the board. What's the frequency?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
9:55. Bill and Wendy coming up. John DeCoste and Justin Kaufman are wandering around our new facilities here at 303. East Wacker to give you a radio tour of the place. Let me go to John here and get him on the radio. John.
Hey, how's it going?
John, what part of the building are you in?
I'm actually in the bathroom. It's huge. It's just enormous. Oh, it's so shiny. It's amazing. There's two showers. I just took a shower. Just finished taking a shower. Hang on one second. There we go. So I just took a shower.
That's not a shower. That is not a shower.
My face is all wet.
All right.
He confused.
Let me go to Justin now.
Here's the thing, Steve. I'm going through each. There are several stalls. They're just beautiful. They're shiny. Hey, Marlene. I didn't see you sitting there. Sorry.
Here's the thing.
The wrong
room.
You know what? I think we're all sharing one bathroom.
No, I think you probably didn't get very far. But then again, it's late in the show. Justin, where are you?
You know what? Hey, Steve, it's Justin. I'm in the sales area right now. I'm walking through. I'm going to do a real quick tour because I know we only got a minute. So here's what we do. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Right down here to the end here. Hey, what's up? Sales? How's it going? Good to go? Now I'm going to run this way. This is the conference room. This is the conference room. This is the conference room. This is the hallway. This is the hallway. Now we're walking down. We're running down the hallway.
Yes. And?
Go back to John's for a second.
All right, so John, Justin's decided to turn this into a 5K. Where are you now?
I'm not moving because I don't move.
Is he still in the bathroom?
But I can't. There's faucets, but I don't know how to turn them on. There aren't any knobs or anything.
Do you feel like you're locked into the bathroom? Is that why you're so troubled by all of this?
Steve, I can't get out.
All right. Stay where you are.
Out of the bathroom.
Stay where you are. We'll find you. Justin, where are you now?
I made it to the green room, Steve.
Great.
Right over by the Swiss Hotel. There's a business guy. There's a business guy. That guy didn't make his bed.
What?
There's a business guy.
Yeah, don't be looking in the windows.
Yeah. All right. Back the other way. There's a pool down that way.
All right. Fine.
This way's engineering. This is where Debbie does all the promos.
All right. So there you go. That's an exclusive tour of the brand new facilities. Don't you feel like you understand it better now?
I do. I think he needs to do a little cardio, though.
Yeah, because honestly, Justin
sounds gassed.
He's back. Oh, look, he's back.
Did he say there's a pool?
Yes, he's back.
A hotel.
Oh, that's great.
Not here.
Hotel. I'm like, what?
Yeah, Justin, you look like you're in pretty good shape. You ran 50 yards and had to lay down.
I got
to
tell you guys, I just ran. I'm essentially the, what's the guy's name? Lewis. Carl Lewis.
Yeah, you ran.
Yeah,
Carl Lewis of WGN.
All right, let me just say goodbye to DeCoste here and see if he's all right. John, are you there?
Why is there somebody coming to look for me?
All right. We got to get John out of the bathroom. We're coming back with Bill and Wendy next on 720.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Hi. It's time to say hi to Bill and Wendy. We are wrapping up our first show, the first official show in this studio. John Williams is sitting uncomfortably close to me. He's actually on my lap trying to learn the control board.
Sorry. Was that a bad thing or a good thing? Be honest.
I'm going to be honest with you. Stranger danger.
Yeah.
He's a lurker.
But now he's doing it to us, Steve. Yeah. So
I'm just trying to make sure I figure out how everything works.
Sure. Well, he's invading our own personal space.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's a bad habit.
Man.
We're back tomorrow. What are you guys doing today other than taking a tour of the building?
Unpacking.
Yeah?
Yeah. It'll just be 2 hours of us unpacking our boxes.
I came in this morning. We're at 303 East Wacker now. I came in this morning. You know, we're like 17 floors higher than the old
place. Yeah, it's a lot higher.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hope there's not a fire. Sorry.
That's the first time I've thought about that.
Well, no,
thanks,
I liked being on floor number one for that particular reason. Well,
wrong.
You know.
It's like my grandmother, when I'd fly, she'd go, I hope the plane doesn't crash.
I do that, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, we all hope that.
So we've got the cast of Towering Inferno in right at the beginning of the show.
You'll just use me as a human shield. What do you care?
Oh, I would.
Did you have a nice Father's Day?
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Were the girls home?
Yes. I was surprised. Kylie now lives in New York, but she surprised me.
Oh, that's
and
great.
And Reese lives here, so it was nice to have all four of us together.
How about Jimmy Mac?
He had a great Father's Day.
Yeah. I just assume you guys are together all the time.
No, only on
although they're very much alike, my real husband and work husband.
Yes.
Which I hate that expression. That and baby bump, so don't make that happen.
I'm Wendy's baby bump. Is that awkward?
I think it is.
Did she just say, it's like a walking HR violation.
Did she just say work husband and baby bump?
Yeah,
the same
yes. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what you are.
Apparently there's an announcement to make. It involves you, Steve, and a DNA test. All right, we're back tomorrow, I think.
From here?
From 303 East Wacker. Now off to the Bill and Wendy Show.
Have a great show.